I've got a smooth chest.
I'm okay with that. Oh.
I don't want to know about your chest, Tony. Not until you're in my sight.
It's nice and supple for a man.
Hello and welcome to Supplecast. This is episode 88 of the Try Games Internet podcast. I'm your host, Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon. We have an absence of Antipode Al today because the assholes loaded a crane onto his building. So they did it at, I don't know, ass o'clock in the morning. That's what he said happened. They had to load a crane onto his building. And so what? Like, he has to get some sleep now.
Where does he live? Dubai? What the fuck's going on?
Actually, in the same... No, he doesn't live in the same bar. He lives in Queens.
Yeah. Queens is starting to suck.
What, they never loaded a crane onto your building?
No!
You sure?
They don't even know how to spell crane out in...
Check the roof. They don't know how to spell crane in Brooklyn. I'm sure they do. Anyway, I am here with three lovely ladies. Let me introduce our regular Tony! Wow, that was a nice bird call. And Slugs!
Hello.
Wow, that was feminine. Yeah. And we've got a special guest from Nerd Alert. Nerdalert.com. Is that the right URL?
It doesn't even matter, really.
Okay. Nerdalert.com. Our Jimbo, your Jimbo. It's Jimbo, James, Rogan. Because I'm Asian, that's how I pronounce it.
Howdy.
How are you doing, Rogan?
I'm doing pretty good, Austin. How are you?
I'm doing good. Did we wake you up? Did Slugs wake you up?
No.
I was hoping you did so you could beat his ass just because it would be fun to watch.
Beat my ass.
Yeah, ES. But in honor of being our honorary honorable guest of honor, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing some Call of Duty 4 because I'm addicted. A little bit of Ikaruga. The Chains of Olympus challenges on the PSP.
Okay.
I beat that.
Does he sound like Al?
Yes, he's a good Al replacement. He even has long hair like Al. So.
God damn it! Stop getting Al lookalikes and soundalikes.
I could never be like Al. Al is too cool for me.
He has baritone bass.
Look at that. Ooh. You hear that, Al?
That's some admiration. Crane boy. Hi, Al. How's the crane going? Now, how about that God of War in terms of how faithfully it recreates the console experience? Like, what are your thoughts on that one?
I actually thought it was extremely well done. I was really impressed. I played the demo before the game came out, and I mean everything just translated really well. It took a little getting used to that analog nub, is just a little bit different. And some, you know, when you have to do the context sensitive moves with that I kept messing it up a little bit.
Like the circular motions and everything.
Right, but once I got the hang of it, it was actually really good. Ready at Dawn, I mean they can nail other people's franchises. I just wish they had their own that they could go to town with, you know. So far, it's just been everybody else's stuff. But
right. And what kind of Ikaruga player are you? A good one or someone like me who needs all 10 continues to beat the game?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm working on getting all those credits so I can actually unlock all the levels. Because I'm not very good, but I don't know. That game is brilliantly designed in. It's just about level memorization, so, you know, just kind of getting through everything. So, but I mean, I really like it a lot.
And muscle precision. Now, I got up to this point where I could actually sort of, you know, that part in stage. Spoiler alert! That part in stage 4, where all those lasers are crisscrossing each other, and you gotta kind of maneuver. I got it to a point where I could almost do that part without dying, but. Like, if I tried it again now, no.
I call that the trench run. When those stupid things come in and start closing on you, that's where I die, is those little... I always get hit by those things.
But I think I've satisfied myself to the point where it's just like, while I was playing a GameCube a lot, and I'm like, as long as I can get through level 1 without dying, that's all I need from this game, because I'm not going to accomplish anything else out of this game. So that's about the best I could do, is get through level 1 without dying, and that's it. Maybe level 2.
Is there anything special about the 360 version, or just achievements?
Probably just achievements, and, you tell us, Jimbo, is it like, do they have any special filters on it, or since it's all in 3D, it scales up resolution-wise?
Yeah, I think it's I think just the resolution is I mean, if you're playing on HDTV, you can actually read the text that they have, you know, before each chapter.
Wow.
So you can actually find out what the somewhat story is.
Right, right.
I guess, you know, the best thing would be online co-op, you know, that you can play.
I didn't know Ikaruga had a story.
I thought it does.
It's very buried in there. I mean, it does. It's weird, but, like, they basically said, there's a story, but we're not going to tell it to you. right. Like, it's all, like, half the shit's in Sanskrit, and, like, a lot of it has to do with, like, yin-yang and all that stuff. It's actually really interesting. I think some website, like, went in and posted it, posted what their interpretation of it was from multiple sources, including the instruction booklet and the beginning of chapter poetry that pops up on the screen for, like, 2 seconds too fast for you to read it, and it's in Japanese anyway or something like that. But, I mean, it's there, it's just not there. But it is.
It is, but it's not. Okay.
Yeah. Been playing anything else, or shall we move on to Spunk?
I think that's a little bit of Brawl, but not, like, a tiny amount. But...
Smash Brawl! Yeah. Slunks, what you been not playing? I mean, what you been playing?
I'm gonna sound lame, because I've been playing crap. I've been playing I'm Sick, because I'm sick.
Oh, so you're like Ethan now.
Yeah. It's a pretty fun game where you lay in bed all day and you go, why?
Well, you said crap, so does that include a bedpan of any sort?
I wish. I wouldn't have to get up.
Chamber pot.
Poop sock.
Usually I'd bring up a game that I'm like reviewing, but games this month suck. Yes.
They suck.
I did pick up Dynasty Warriors 6. I rented it from my work. I work at GameStop, so I can just kind of grab games as I please and play them. I haven't even dived into it yet, so I've been playing, to tell you the truth, I mean, I just got my new computer and all I've been playing is Counter-Strike 1.6.
Hostage down.
So, and RuneScape?
Despite I just paid like $1,000 for this new computer, I'm still playing the old games that require, you know.
Allow me to geek out for, sorry, go ahead.
No.
Allow me to geek out for a second and ask you what kind of video card you got in there.
8800 GT.
Shit, you got all that for $1,000. That's not a bad deal at all.
Yeah, it's a 3 gigahertz dual-core processor, 8800 GT, 2 gigs of RAM, and this huge-ass CPU cooler that is, like, the fan for it is seriously, like, the size of my fist. It's just so ridiculous.
Is it from a vendor, or did you build it?
I was going to build it, but I actually had, I got it from iBuyPower.com.
Oh, okay, those guys are pretty good.
I just didn't kind of feel like building one, because I don't have too much experience in that area, despite I know I could, but yeah. If something goes wrong, I don't want to try to figure it out. So.
And I think pretty much if you could get it for $1,000, that's not bad at all.
No, definitely not.
Mm-hmm. Well, PC gaming's too expensive!
It was actually $900 even, but I was impatient.
Rush shipping?
I paid like an extra $100 for next day build. Actually, for that website, there's two shipping fees. There's one for them to build it and one for them to ship it.
Oh, so there's like a work order fee. Like, this is craftsmanship. You got to pay for it.
Basically, yeah. And I I paid next day build, and then I did just standard FedEx stuff. And somehow it wound up coming on Friday, despite I ordered it on Sunday. So that was pretty, that was really fast. I was expecting it to come like next Wednesday, but somehow it came early. Which I'm glad that it did, because, you know, now I have it for the whole weekend and didn't have to wait for stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, playing wise, crap.
Crap and Counter Strike. Ah, very good. Yeah. Tony.
Yeah.
What you been playing besides study? How is that going, by the way?
It's very hard. You got to know a lot for this test that's coming up May 17th.
Oh, good luck. Good luck.
But if I pass it, I get $67,000 a year. I don't care.
Nice.
So,
aside from that, what have you been playing? Have you had time to play anything?
I've had time. I've actually been playing Phantasy Star 4.
Going back.
Cool deal.
Yeah. And guess what I learned? There's actually fucking combos in this game.
Huh?
Yeah.
I just learned that.
I remember that. I only played what, like...
What's you mean like two characters can combine to for a spell or something?
Right, or three.
I gotta remember that for when I actually start finally playing it.
That's what Suikoden does, right?
Yeah, Suikoden has... Well, Suikoden 2 has. Well, I guess, yeah, they both have. But you have to have special characters that do it. Like, only. Right.
You have to have all 108 stars. Stars!
No, what happened was I went and I took one of the main characters. I was with, you know, you have Alice, Chaz, and then you get Rune and stuff. And I was in this battle against Fan Bites and stuff like that. So I put Chaz to do Zan, you know, because there was a group of enemies. And then, whatchamacallit, you know, I had the fucking Rune do what? Okay, and all of a sudden, and I put that in my macro so that I don't have to, like, go through the fucking options and stuff like that.
And it just combined it?
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? It was like a Blizzard spell. It was like, no way! Dude, I played this
I've been playing this for 20 years, and I just found this out.
Exactly!
That's great.
Like, where the fuck was I? You know, was that in the manual or anything?
So you beat the game the first time without even knowing any of this?
Exactly! I beat it, like, hundreds of times.
Amazing.
Without even doing this.
I've played all of, like, 2 hours of that game, and I knew about...
Well, uh-oh. Good for you, you bitch. Yeah, so I was like, when I saw that, I was like, no, I have not played this game. I've not. I've just passed it.
Yeah, you learn something new every day, though, at least. Like, now you have a whole new experience to go through. You could play it for the. You could be a virgin again.
Yeah, so now I'm actually trying to combine shit. I'm even combining items. I don't know if that's going to work. It's like I put in a macro somebody uses, like, a steel cane or
combine a
shit.
Mushroom and a sword to get a prostitute.
And a foot.
And a foot. Then you get a 3 like a prostitute.
That's hot. That's hot.
Yeah, but, like, when I just found this out, I was like, what the fuck, man? And it's so much easier.
Oh, it's easier now. Okay.
Like, yeah, because now the tough enemies, I just put on that macro, done.
I think it's about time I go onto GameTap and start playing it. I'm letting that account go to waste. I have, like, I haven't even played anything on that in the past month.
Yeah, does that game stand the test of time, or, I mean...
It definitely does. Yeah. It definitely does. One, there's a lot of options that I think they've got. You always do this with any game anyway. You always think that there's something they could do, could have done better.
Right.
Okay? As far as the menu screens, the items, you know, like, for instance, you can't see what an item will give you before you buy it, like, as far as what attributes it's going to improve.
Like little things
so
like
you
that,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, you just automatically assume that steel armor is going to be less than Lego armor. I mean, you know, so, you know, you don't really see the stats, you know, until you put it on the person.
But gameplay-wise,
it's fantastic.
Fantastic!
I remember the music was really good,
fantastic.
Too.
Yeah.
Especially for a Genesis game.
Exactly. But then again, Sword of Vermillion music was good, too, and that game blues! It blues!
Yeah, Al still owes me his cartridge so I can... discover how bad it is. I don't want to pay.
Dude, that game.
I don't want to pay virtual
so
console
bad.
Points for that.
Yeah, please don't. Do not invest in Sword of a Million. It is just horrible.
Sword of shit. Anything else?
No.
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 No. Well,
I guess I'll go. The only thing new that I've actually been playing is Ninja Gaiden Black on the 360. Just because. Well, it's the Xbox game. I just put it into my 360. Just because I wanted to give myself a little bit of perspective for when I put the review up for Dragon Swords, which has gone up on anothercastle.com. Plug, shameless. But, Ninja Gaiden on DS is really good, but the default difficulty is kind of easy. So I popped in Black, and I got my ass summarily handed to me within the first 10 seconds. Like, literally. I loaded up the game. This is in Chapter 6, I think, for anybody who's played it. Right when you have to discover the underground passage of the monastery. And 3 ninjas came out at me, and I started fighting them. They threw explosive incendiary things at me, stuck on my shoulder. Boom! Threw another one. Boom! Sliced me up. Threw another one. Boom! And that was game over.
Amazing.
And I was like, what? And the shitty thing was that because I hadn't played it in a long time, the 360 had to cache it in the hard drive, so it started... When I first booted it up, it loaded for literally, like, 3 minutes. Like, it was just sitting on the loading screen for 3 minutes.
Nice.
And I got to playing it. I was like, yes, I'm dead. Fuck. But fortunately, after that one time, it doesn't load too long anymore. And it's, yeah, it just made me remember how much harder this game is. And then I unlocked the hard mode in Ninja Gaiden DS, and that's still really hard, but it still doesn't compare to
It's the normal difficulty kind of feels like an easy difficulty in comparison.
Yeah, it feels like God of War does, and that's not to say that God of War is a cakewalk, but God of War is pretty easy. Mm. When you compare the genre that it's in to the similar games like Devil May Cry and Ninja Gaiden, God of War is fairly easy. You know, you die a couple of times, but you'll trudge your way through it without much practicing, so
to
speak.
Unless you put it on Spartan or
right, exactly. Unless you put it on Spartan or God mode. But Ninja Gaiden DS is the same way. Ninja Gaiden Black, the regular difficulty, is, you know, no. Like, it's more akin to Devil May Cry. I'd say it's even harder than Devil May Cry. Like a lot harder.
Hmm.
I'm still having trouble with Devil May Cry.
Just in general?
In general. Okay. I'm actually having trouble with the first one. Not a lot of trouble,
really?
But just like... Yeah, only because... You know why?
That
it's because when I was first playing it, I was approaching it with the God of War mindset, and you can't do that.
Mm.
Like, you gotta approach it with a Ninja Gaiden mindset, like, dodge, slash away, look for weaknesses, dodge. With God of War, it's just like, what is it, triangle, square? Square, triangle, triangle, square, triangle, circle, and then they're gone, you know, it's all good. But you can't do that with Devil May Cry, so...
He wasn't even playing a game. What were you doing there?
I was looking stylish.
He was playing the sex mini game just now.
Exactly.
Circle. No, but you know, God, where you can do this thing. All you need to do is you press triangle and you lift them up into the air. And then you just keep on jamming on circle because he grabs them and throws them into the ground again. And they bounce back up. So you press circle again. You grab them again. Bounce them up. You grab them again and you keep on doing that. There's a move in Soul Calibur where Ivy does that too.
You would play as Ivy.
Huh?
You would play as Ivy.
Actually, I can't. It's just freaking difficult to learn. I use Mitsurugi because he's cheap and, overpowered. But and the only other thing I've really been playing, other than Ninja Gaiden, it was Guitar Hero for like an hour. That's
Ooh.
It. Because I finally beat Through the Fire and Flames on Expert, so I'm just going to stop playing that game like on a regular basis.
Yeah, so I'll definitely congratulations.
Yeah, I saw that.
Congratulations?
Yeah, but I do agree with what you said in your video description about 5 months too late.
Yeah, but it is 5 months too late. Well, I mean, technically, we're both, even you're too late because fucking Drac had the pleasure of playing it at a press event, asshole.
Yeah, that's true.
And he beat it first.
Yeah, that's true.
The funny part is the part that he said he had trouble with in the end that was holding him back was came really easily to me. The part that I had trouble with was right in the middle, when the solo begins.
It's kind of like you need to get star power to get through the middle part, like just before the Court of Freedom, I like to call it.
Court of Freedom.
It's what is it? Green, yellow, and orange.
Yeah.
And like just before that part, you kind of need star power to get through it. Otherwise, I don't know. Something's really. That's probably like the toughest part. I think it's tougher than the intro. So, are you going to take your time and try to learn the intro, or are you going to try to 5-star it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I think overall to beat it, it's easier than Jordan, but the 5-star, it's probably harder than Jordan.
Definitely, yeah.
Because they go lenient. They go really lenient on Jordan. They're like, okay, as long as you just do this, you'll get it.
Jordan was easy because it's just activate star power right in the beginning, get enough star power, get through the solo, and then be just decent at the ending.
You with your little cardboard contraption.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cardboard or masking tape. But yeah, that's all I've been playing. Let's move on to the news. With Areola Free, we have a great first topic, courtesy of Joystick. 1 million signatures to end Uwe Boll's directing career.
What a dick.
If anybody wants to know what I just said, apparently, I think this was like a couple of months ago, he was frustrated that people kept on calling him Uwe Boll or Uwe Bowl or something.
Uwe Bowl.
Uwe Boll.
So
Uwe Boll.
He's like, you fucking idiots, the name is pronounced Uwe Boll. So it's Uwe Boll now.
Uwe.
I still prefer calling him Bowels, but okay. You'll never be able to get back those $8.50 you blew on your ticket for Uwe Boll's Alone in the Dark, but those seeking revenge against the infamous German filmmaker will be pleased to know that a recent interview with Fearnet revealed a giant glowing weak point in his floundering directorial career. Amidst Nazi humor and PETA endorsements, Boll commented on a petition currently at around 18,000 signatures for him to forever put an end to this game, his game franchise defiling ways. It'll take more than that to derail his train of box office catastrophes, he claimed, though 1 million signatures should do the trick. And this link leads to this website called cinematical.com. And it says, let's see, the best part of the interview comes near the end. It goes a lot something like this. Fearnet, are you aware that there is a petition online signed by 18,000 people requesting that you stop making movies? Boll says, yeah, I know that. 18,000 is not enough to convince me. Fearnet says, how many would it take? Boll says, 1 million. Now we have a new goal. So anybody want to sign the petition for that, feel free. Go right ahead.
I don't think there's even a million people that's seen one of his films. It's like bad.
Ah, yeah, that's true. I think people are like, I haven't seen any of his films, but I'm, you know, tempted to just jump the gun and sign it anyways. It's, let's see, the petition online petition is called, what is the title of this thing? It's
you
being
Uwe Boll sucks.
Okay. We endorse the Stop Dr. Uwe Boll petition. That's what it's called, the Stop Dr. Uwe Boll. Wow, right now
Doctor?
It's at 191,836 signatures.
Nice.
That's after nice. Like about a week of after the story came out. So
nice.
Yeah, I guess they call him Doctor because they think he's like Dr. Frankenstein. But anyway, he responds later. He responds later, and Kotaku has the headline, and it's called Uwe Boll responds to Million Man Petition, quote, look, I'm not a fucking retard, end quote.
Just right there, that proves he's a retard.
Michael McWhorter writes, yes, we've definitely heard all about Uwe Boll's claim that if a million concerned gamers were to band together, say via internet petition, he'd stop making movies. You can throttle back on the tips, Turbo, while no one at Kotaku Tower Complex believes that Uwe Boll will give up on the movie biz for a second, it doesn't seem to have curbed enthusiasm for an internet rallying cry. How does he respond? In shattered English, he says that he hopes someone somewhere will start a pro-UFO petition. Here's why. Quote, I'm not a fucking retard like Michael Bay or other people running around in the business or Eli Ross making the same shitty movies all over and over again.
Difference is they make shitty movies that make money, you fucking dickhead.
And that people still happen to like.
Exactly. Independence Day you did not make, so shut the fuck up.
And if you really look at my movies, yeah. You will see my real oh my god, I gotta read this again.
Genius.
If you really look at my movies, you will see my real genius, you know. And if you go on May 23 on Postal,
yeah,
you
we
will
go.
See that I deliver Shingles a movie plug. What nobody else delivered in the last 10 years.
Get it? What is Postal delivered?
Oh, Jesus Christ. What is way better as all that social critic George Clooney bullshit what you get every fucking weekend?
Austin,
what the
I know how
fuck?
Much you like reading URLs, so I want you to read the response URL.
The response URL? Okay. http://:// or whatever slash, kotaku.com/377605/ Uwe-2-million-man-petition-I'm-not-a-fucking-retard. I won't be able to post this.
Awesome.
I won't be able to post this on the GameSpot blog. It'll censor it. Only on the other blogs.
Oh, that's true, huh?
Oh, well.
If it censors a link, I mean, if, a URL?
Well, it's not going to censor the URL if you put it as a URL, but, like, if I just copy and paste it onto the post as, like, the words, it'll censor it out, but it's not going to censor out, like, the underlying code. So you can still click in it and get to it. Uh-huh. It'll just say, Uwe Boll response to Million Man Petition, look, I'm not a star ing retard. So, now here's, wait, his last quote is golden. Quote, you have to really wake up and you have to see that, you have to see me what I am. I am the only genius in the whole fucking business. Goodbye.
I see you what you are. Damn it.
I am the only genius.
You a fucking retard.
I am the only genius in the whole fucking business. Goodbye.
God. I don't God. Think
wow.
so.
Wow. Yeah. Have any of you ever seen any of his movies and care to comment on him?
Nope.
Yes. Nobody seen Alone in the Dark?
No.
Nope.
Dude, that movie was a travesty. That movie was awful.
I'm glad I haven't seen it.
Dude, no, but you gotta see it just for its sheer stupidity. I mean, that's how fucking bad it is. Huh. It's like a movie you sit down and you're like, I can't believe somebody gave them money to make this. There's no fucking way in this world, in this sane planet, if it is sane at all, which it's not, obviously, because he thinks he's a genius. There's no way that he should have got any amount of fucking studio money to even, like, buy toilet tissue to wipe his ass. Nothing.
Toilet okay? tissue!
Because this guy just took a giant shit when he made that movie. Let me tell you, it's a fucking
But it was a genius
movie.
Shit.
The
yeah,
only
genius.
Genius.
You got to see me what I am.
Supposedly out of, like, interviews, like, in real life, he's actually supposedly a pretty nice guy, which is
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. But nice guy just stole my money by making, like, a shit film. You know? Nice guy or not, I don't give a fuck. He yeah. needs to stop making movies.
His movies are what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass. That's all we can say.
Sure.
This is just not his calling.
He's out of his element.
Exactly. I mean, he's like that. He's like that guy that really, really wants to try at something. You know, really wants to be good at it. It's like, you know, you go and you exercise and do everything, and you know you're 150 pounds and you think you're ready for it, and then you get into that sumo ring and the guy who gets you is like 300 pounds, and you're like, but I could take him. I could really do this. This was what I was born for. No, you're not born for this.
Best
you suck at it. It's
ever.
Time.
You're not fat that much yet.
Let's throw a sumo wrestler analogy into this subject. All right.
Exactly, yeah. I just figured, you know, if I'm going to show him genius, just put it that way.
Are you going to fuck me?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, does anybody have a segue into this topic? Because I certainly don't. As evidence from last week, I can't segue for shit.
Yeah, that's a nice segue. You're gonna fuck him in the ass. Go.
And this is what happened when Guitar Hero fucks you in the ass. We Guitar Hero class ass action settled. This is from Game Life from Ernest Cavalli. The California judge presiding over the class action lawsuit brought against Activision by San Diego resident Samuel Livingston has dismissed the lawsuit, claiming that the parties had reached an agreement of their own accord. Mm-hmm. The suit brought by Livingston last December sought unnamed damages from the publisher as compensation for the exclusively monophonic sound found in the Wii version of Guitar Hero 3. We had a whole podcast named after this debacle. Do any of you have the Wii version?
Nope.
No.
My brother does.
Oh. Let's see if your brother is due any money. Court documents reveal that both parties opted to settle to avoid a, quote, potentially protracted and complex litigation, end quote. What's complex about it? They said it was a stereo and it wasn't. Anyway, details are scarce, but one can presume Livingston is now a more wealthy gamer. So I guess, okay. Activision's other actions to correct the issue include the disc replacement program in place for Wii Guitar Hero fans and will continue through August 31st. Did your brother get the replacement disc yet?
I told him about that. I don't think he even cared that for his mana, like... I mean, yeah, I like.
It's like, okay.
And that was it.
You know the funny thing about it is, like, for me, even though I hate false advertising, at the same time, like, when I play multiplayer, and then, like, the, you know, it's distracting when something comes out of the left speaker and not the right, so I actually just, I prefer it mono, but it just, you know, it's distracting. Anyway... somebody decided to pimp the site that he writes for, so why doesn't he read this news topic?
Whoa. Okay, well, apparently...
Nice, let's move on. Next topic. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, well, apparently Microsoft, there's a lot of...
hoo-ha over the hope. Blu-ray thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope behind Microsoft releasing, like, a Blu-ray add-on, you know, to replace the HD DVD one. But, TalkXbox.com confirmed, which is the site I write for. Go there.
Not Xbox fanboy?
No. They confirmed that Microsoft is not going to be producing a Blu-ray player, but they're going to be focusing on digital distribution. So all the content that you see on the marketplace, they're going to be probably reinforcing that a little bit more, which is good in a way because, I don't know, is it just me or would it feel weird for the 360, like Microsoft, to get a Blu-ray add-on to replace the HD DVD player? It just feels like a cop-out in a way. Like, oh,
not even a cop-out.
We have to like follow these guys now or whatever.
Like they lost.
The thing about it is, I think that if Sony wasn't the company behind Blu-ray, it wouldn't no one would have batted an eye about this. But now that it's only because Sony just happens to be the originator of this technology. I feel the same way. It's kind of weird, but like when you look at it from the outside, it's like, look, this is just a technology we're talking about here. It doesn't really necessarily have anything to do with the console wars. It's just a technology. Yep. If Microsoft's aim is to make the Xbox 360 a set-top player that has the ability to play all types of media, then the smart business move would be to incorporate a Blu-ray player. Yeah, it does seem like it's selling out and losing, but in the end, that's what you do. I'm not saying like you sell out. No, I'm saying what you do is you do the smart thing, and for them, one option would be to, take Blu-ray on because it's a standard. It's just a standard. I mean, one could say that Microsoft sold out when they included DVD in the original Xbox, Why do you need to play DVDs? Why can't you just be, But, I mean, it's a smart move. People bought that DVD remote instead of watching DVDs, and it was a hell of a lot of a better DVD player than the PS2 was.
I think what's going to happen is the next system they make is going to have Blu-ray. Not now.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised.
Too much of an admission of guilt right now. Admission of defeat right now if they take on Sony's. I mean, like, the whole thing is you just got to look at it from this way. They are a video game console competitor. You don't want to take on the competitor's, specifications. Otherwise, you're just, what's the difference between your system and theirs?
There's a funny story about that coming up later, too. It's funny. I don't know how many of you listen to other podcasts, like on...
Nope!
But on other podcasts, like GameSpot's own podcast and 1UP.com's podcast, they were saying, like, they're thinking, all conspiracy theories. But, it's a good point. They're like, maybe Microsoft doesn't care about high-definition players. Maybe they bought into HD DVD kind of just to stall and create this fake format. Not fake, but you know what I mean? Like, push a format war to make Sony sweat a little while they kind of, like, under wraps, they work on this whole digital distribution project. And by the time that HD DVD fails, which they probably anticipated, like, well, it's okay because we were working on this whole thing the entire time. Now you can download shit. You don't even need discs.
It kind of stinks for whoever's bought an HD DVD.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's kind of like because they're going to be really cheap. I mean, the players are really cheap, and there's going to be a lot of cheap movies. It's going to be like Laserdisc. I mean, it's going to be cool to have like a little HD DVD collection, I think, because it's not going to be around anymore, and it's still going to be...
That is true. I mean, that's a good point. Like, from a collector standpoint, you'd be like, hey, check out what I got,
Yeah, absolutely, but, it's just an add-on that everybody's going to be like, hey, what's that? It's an HD DVD, son. Oh, yeah, all right.
The article reads that's interesting. Neil Thompson, he's the Microsoft PR guy in this article, he said... Let's see. He denied that Microsoft had abandoned customers who had purchased the HD DVD add-on for their Xbox 360 consoles. He said, "We said to people they had the choice. We didn't force it on them as we didn't put it in the box." And that's kind of cool that, you didn't force people to buy an HD DVD player, but isn't it still kind of crap that there's going to be no support for it whatsoever within, six
months? It is crap. I mean, the thing is that it's obviously... Well, it was their decision to back the HDD format in the first place. But, I mean, looking at it now, it's smart that they didn't include it into the drive anyways. Well, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't smart. We don't know if Microsoft had built it in, would the format have succeeded? I mean, that's something that we'll never know.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I think it would have, because everybody would have been accustomed to that anything they buy from Microsoft comes with an HD DVD. You know what I'm saying? And that's its own format, and they have to buy different things. I mean, you put an ad on to something. It's just something that it's another thing in your house that you got to make room for. Okay, and it's also separate from the system. I mean, don't you just want to? Your system already has a disk drive. Wouldn't it make more sense just put it in one fucking disk drive instead of I got to put it in this disk
yeah,
drive.
I mean,
it's my video game system.
Yeah, the whole thing is complicated. I mean, it's just like, again, it's like, what if they had put it in? But then what if they put it in? Then would the system have costed $500? Would people have bought it in the first place? You know, there's that argument, too. So,
well, at the time, was it, like, revolutionary? I mean, were they the first ones to, like, even have the idea of HD DVD?
No, both of them were saying, like, yeah, we're going to have high definition format. I mean, it's not an issue of who thought of it first. It was an issue of who's going to release it first.
No, because what I'm alluding to is that, you know, when Sony brought out the Blu-ray, that was, like, new technology. That was something they just started developing, and they wanted to put it on a PlayStation 3, and that caused delays, you know, for the PlayStation 3. And, you know, they wanted to put it out there. It's going to revolutionize the world and stuff like that. It's going to produce this amount of information. It's going to whatever. Okay. The whole thing is, if was this a new idea? Like, how long has HD DVD been out before Microsoft decided to put one out?
The same time as Blu-ray, I think. I think both
same time.
Both spec sheets kind of came up at around the same time, I think. Or maybe one came slightly after the other. No, this whole thing is not new. It's not that new. It's just been implemented recently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, again, it's like if Microsoft had decided to put in HD DVD, either it would be more expensive or it would have been delayed just like the PlayStation 3 or both.
Right.
So it's like it's hard to say. Would people have bought the 360s as much as they did to make HD DVD even a competing standard? And if they both had it, would there still be a war going on right now? I don't know. This is all stupid.
I don't know. Well,
Netflix, like, digital Netflix. Downloads.
Segway,
yeah. We segue randomly from this to, actually, this is kind of sad. Al found this. This is I guess the only reason why I bring this up is because a video game peripheral was used in it, but it's just kind of stupid. I mean, a two-year-old, here it goes. This is by Mike Hoover for inyork.com. A two-year-old girl.
That's Pennsylvania,
son. Huh?
Pennsylvania.
Ah.
Got to qualify.
A two-year-old. Yay, thank you very much. I think we care. A two-year-old girl died Monday night at Hershey Medical Center after police said her mother's boyfriend beat her to death with a video game controller and cord Sunday in York. The girl was in the critical care unit in a vegetative state on life support with multiple injuries, the most dire being injuries to her brain, said York City Detective First Class Dana Ward, who supervises the child abuse unit. She never regained any kind of consciousness. The toddler was declared dead at 9:28 p.m. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see what happened here. The mother, Nada E. Baez, I don't know how to pronounce that. Tony, can you help me out there?
Baez.
19, is charged with endangering the welfare of a child. The mother's boyfriend, Harvey L. Johnson, 26, is charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, endangering the welfare of a child, and reckless endangerment. So, yeah, of course, this has nothing to do with, like, video games, but I guess Al just found it, and I just wanted to let you know that is not what you use a controller for.
I'm kind of tired of these stories. Like, if you're going to beat a child to death, please don't do it with a video game controller, because I'm tired of seeing articles coming up in the gaming industry about, oh, you kill them with the Wii Zapper. Well, you could have done it with a knife or something. Just please.
Yeah.
Please.
The rubber bands.
Could have done it with your fucking shoe.
Please keep it out of the gaming industry. I'm tired of seeing it.
Yeah. Fortunately, this article was found in, like, just a regular site. I mean, we didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing it in. Oh, no. I think Kotaku picked it up.
Yeah,
okay.
They just decided. See, so they shouldn't have, you know.
Yeah, right there. At least they didn't go into what game he was playing at the time.
Right,
he
right.
decided to beat the shit out of the little girl.
The thing is, he might not even be playing a game at the time. He might have just
picked it up.
Yeah.
Why would you waste a controller on a child?
That's so. Oh my god.
That's poor taste.
I hope you never have kids. You'd be like, I'm not going to waste a controller. Let me get a stapler.
Stapler.
Are you going to eat that stapler? Want to split it?
Is this the one where he tried to revive the kid in the bathtub? Isn't there like another story? Yeah, they used the Mortal Kombat moves one where he tried to revive the child in the bathtub.
Yeah, they both. I think in both instances they tried to revive in the bathtub. But
that's a good place to try to revive somebody. Let me tell you, Scott.
I mean, is that online somewhere? Is that what people do? Does it say if you accidentally almost killed someone?
I think the cold water is going to wake them up if they immerse them in them. Uh-huh. No. Little do they know that they're probably too stupid to realize that they're probably drowning the child at the same time. So.
Well, not only that, the cold water lowers the body temperature. So, and, you know, if your heart is at rest, it's not going to resuscitate it. Warm water, people. Warm water.
Hopefully they do that. But that's not as – well, any death is bad, but this is kind of more disgusting. This is also from Kotaku. Let's see. Mike Fahey says, grizzly beheading blamed on hitman. Now, this is the one that we all complain about where they actually try to blame it on something.
Right.
18-year-old Jean-Pierre Orlovitz is currently on trial for first-degree premeditated murder. After he and a friend ambushed 26-year-old Daniel Sorensen last November, stabbing him multiple times in the back before sawing off his head and burning his body. After the prosecution spent the better part of yesterday describing a young man fixated on committing a crime, the defense revealed the real reason behind the teen's murderous drive, hitman. Oh, fucking A. A CNN report... The CNN reporter had obviously never played the game.
Uh-huh.
Quote, they dealt with it with a video game called Hitman that he used to watch, and it was a video game where you got impressions that you could kill somebody, hit them from their backside, that sounds very homosexual, where they were not aware that they were being killed. If he were, look at the picture of this kid. This kid just looks warped. He looks like Yoda.
Yeah.
Yoda, give me one second, guys. I gotta get rid of this fucking caller. What the fuck? I'm doing podcasts, motherfucker.
You guys comment while we listen to him order a pizza.
Yeah. Was that 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Hello?
But so, this is ridiculous. I mean, let's see. As it stands, I suspect pizza. The defense attorneys got Hitman and Manhunt mixed up and were forced to run with it. Mm. And I think that's the issue here. Like, the funny thing is that I've been so accustomed to seeing Manhunt being blamed for shit that until I just read it now, I didn't realize that they were talking about Hitman and not Manhunt. So it's really annoying that I've gotten to that point that they report on it so much that now everything I think about is Manhunt. It's not Manhunt.
Why? I don't know. Something with violence in video games and them mixing is like I'm tired. I'm just like the article before this. I'm just tired of seeing deaths blamed on like games and crap. It's like a game did not trigger the guy to stab somebody in the back multiple times and then behead them and burn their body. Like I think that's a little outside of Hitman.
Yeah. Why don't we say this every time we get a story? Just repeat Chris Rock. Whatever happened to crazy?
Yeah. That tiger went tiger, yada yada, tossing salads.
Yeah,
I prefer
chestnut,
jelly,
yeah.
Yada yada. Jelly. Someone help me with this segue into Rock Band. I guess I can't. Anyway, this next article is from videogamer.com. Basically, the Rock Band developers are explaining why their prices are so high. If you haven't heard, Rock Band is going to be unusually expensive in the UK. Let's see what this says. Wesley Yin Poole of Gamer.com says, the game will retail at £49.99, although we're sure online retailers will be offering the game for around £39.99, with the instrument pack retailing at £129.99. This means that if you buy the recommended retail price, you'll be parting with more than it costs to buy an Xbox 360 arcade unit. It'll also be possible to purchase the instruments individually, of course. Online reaction to UK pricing for the game and its peripherals has been fierce, with some claiming that the higher cost compared with the US is a ripoff. He said, it's more expensive when you just straight-to-straight convert the prices you see on the website for the US version, but there's a myriad of these little differences that all add up. One thing is VAT, which is value-added tax. I'm not sure what the acronym stands for, but it's basically their tax, which is included in all the UK prices at 17.5%. There's no tax included in U.S. prices because tax is different per state. There's a bunch of little reasons that add up to make the price difference. We're not trying to screw people. We want to give people the chance to get into Rock Band and embrace it. We think that when they do play it, they'll feel like this is going to be worth the money. We understand that people are going to feel a little bit aggrieved about it, but we hope the game will override that feeling. Here's my problem, though. They're saying that the high price tag for Rock Band is because of the tax. then that
and
means
other
that,
little things. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So after tax, but it still doesn't change the fact that after tax, it costs more to buy Rock Band than it costs to buy an entire console. Which,
because the euro's much better, son.
And the console, I'm assuming, is taking into consideration VAT as well. So mm-hmm. even if they're saying, oh, it's the taxes, well, the taxes are also making the Xbox 360 what it is. And yet it still costs less than Rock Band. So I don't know what he's trying to say there.
Isn't it bad enough that Europe had to wait all this time just to get Rock Band?
Yeah. A lot of people are complaining about
that. Penalize them and charge and bilk them out of money?
There's got to be something. Maybe it's the licensing costs of the music over there in the UK.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I think that they would have included that. Yeah.
What were you saying?
It just seems like the music licenses would be the thing that would hurt the most. Somehow there's some kind of, you know, since they're U.S. companies or something that want to mm-hmm. have their music. But I don't think that was a big deal for any other music game that was released.
Yeah.
Right.
So, not only that, they would have mentioned that in the blog first.
They would have said right away, this is a licensing.
Yeah, definitely. If they had major concerns about the pricing, one of the things that would have been included was that notion right there,
right,
that music industry wants their money. You know, and going over to Europe, that's a different area altogether with a whole bunch of different rules. They got to redo copywriting over there and stuff like that. Yeah, that would add to the cost. That would have been the first thing they mentioned. They didn't even mention that. They were like a bunch of little reasons. Like, you want your fucking pockets more full? That's a little reason, you know? You come out and you tell people exactly why it's costing so much. Not because of the taxes or anything else like that. Everybody understands there's going to be different taxes for any region you want to do business in, okay? That doesn't mean you can't conduct business normally. Okay, you roll with the punches. If it costs more taxes, you don't up the price of the game, you know, and they are screwing people. They plain and simple, they are screwing people. They're like, okay, well, it's going to cost as much because of the taxes.
Don't
come here.
How much is the Xbox 360 arcade unit, do you guys know? It's 280 right now, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
280. So basically what he's saying is that, and I'm not doing a straight-to-straight conversion here. I'm just saying, for example, if this situation were happening in the United States,
mm-hmm.
Let's take New York City taxes, just for example. Let's say, for example, they're not, but let's say they're 10% to make the math easy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the total price of an arcade unit would be a little bit over $300, maybe $308 to be exact. Okay?
Right.
So basically, Xbox 360 arcade unit from New York City costs $308 to buy. Okay, there's your baseline. So basically what he's saying is after taxes, Rock Band is going to cost more than that. Okay?
That's crazy.
Unless he's saying that, oh, the European price of the 360 arcade doesn't include the tax, and it's misleading, which is stupid because he said right there it's included in all UK prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's unwittingly doing, even if he doesn't feel like he is or isn't intending to, he's playing these guys for idiots, thinking they can't do simple math.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, it's like, you know, the price of manufacturing this unit didn't go up, okay? I mean, like, if anything, it should go down. If anything, you're not going to visit that on your customers, too. He's just bilking these people. They're bilking these people, plain and simple. They would never. I think Rock Band, they know if Rock Band came to the U.S., with us being in kind of a recession right now, with that enormous price, nobody would buy it. And they knew that nobody would buy it, and they put it at a $179, and people bought it. Not a lot of people. It wasn't a number one game.
But it did pretty well for a $180 game.
Very, very well. Very, very well. So now they want to, I guess, they want to visit whatever prices they thought profits they could have made over here upon European audiences, and I think that's just fucking shitty.
Maybe that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. They're trying to recoup. They're like, you know what? We lost money here. Let's bilk the Europeans.
Uh-huh. I also heard, I don't remember where from, but I also heard, well, when Rock Band songs come out for downloadable content, they start at like, I think it's 80 points. And then they eventually go to 160, or like certain songs will be 80 points, like All American Rejects, crappy
right.
songs,
right.
And you know, whatever. I think I remember hearing somewhere that all the songs none of them will start at 80 for Europe.
Yeah, I think you gave us that article. I think we're gonna get to that soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow, I totally fucked up this lineup, but. Maybe I should I should have done it differently, because now I have to segue back into the Xbox thing. Remember how we were talking about add-ons and succumbing to their competition and throwing in the towel and giving up? Well, Slunks has a pretty interesting little Talk article here for you. Why don't you read that one, buddy?
Sure. Let's see. Xbox 360 seeks to copy Wii's unique selling point. Citing anonymous sources, MTV News has reported Microsoft is planning to launch a Wii controller clone for the Xbox 360 as part of a strategy to cash in on Nintendo's market
differentiation.
Word last
get it together.
Yeah. let's see here. Microsoft marketing just won it so they can match the Wii Point 4 point. MTV source said the biggest parts of their marketing materials outline how easy it would be for third parties to port their Wii games to the 360. According to MTV, the controller isn't much different in functionality or design from Nintendo Wii's remote, but comes with 4 face buttons, an analog stick, and microphone. Isn't that kind of... Well, hold on, let me finish here. There are also plans for the controller to interact with Xbox Live Vision camera. The source said, it is rumored that Microsoft is hoping to release the controller before the end of the year, despite development delays. What the heck?
Basically, Totem Ball 2 is coming out.
Totem Ball 2. All right. Why do you need... What?
Coming soon to Xbox 360, the six-axis Wii controller.
Yeah.
The fuck, man?
I mean, this is probably just on Microsoft's like business side. They're probably thinking, what do they have that we don't? And they're trying to fix that.
Uh-huh.
But what the heck?
You know what the funniest thing is? And I think this might have been when Peter Moore was there. Now that he's not there, maybe they're going to go back on the word. But I remember him, or maybe someone else, maybe it was Robbie Bach, saying something like, oh, you know, we have no plans whatsoever to move into that area. That's not what we want to do. That's not what we were about. We don't need that. Right. Something like that. They're like, oh, we don't need that shit.
Because they thought it was a gimmick.
Whoops. Here they go.
Yeah. I've kind of stopped trusting gaming companies.
Talking heads.
Because, I mean, the thing with Sony was that with the six axis, they were like, oh, Rumble is an outdated technology and we don't need an air controller. And then now look at the DualShock 3. Oh, yeah, now we got Rumble. Yay. So.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, and I think I commented on this maybe last week or the week before, that, and I appreciated this candid remark from like Phil Harrison, who's just like, look, motherfuckers, we were in a lawsuit. I couldn't say shit.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm coming out right now, we were in the middle of a lawsuit. We couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So that was refreshing. Microsoft would be like, no, you know, we've reevaluated our position on the market, and we feel that motion control is going to be the future. You know, whatever we said before was, you know, that was us anticipating the guidelines of the horizon, and, you know, the pubic hair on my balls is getting kind of gray now, and I'm worried now that I'm losing money. So we to go. Yeah. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. It's
going to
take a lot. Yeah, it's going to take a lot more than that. It's definitely going to take a lot more than that for them to catch up.
Now, getting into this, are they also going to like make their own version of like a Smash Brothers? Imagine that.
I hope not.
They probably
they
will.
Call them Bash Brothers
Chief versus Marcus Phoenix.
No, Bash siblings. That's what they're going to call their name.
I was listening to that Games for Windows podcast, and they were talking about Hasbrawl. No, I'm sorry. I think it was One Up Yours. And Hasbrawl is basically Super Smash Brothers with Hasbro properties. If they could do it, Microsoft could probably do that shit.
Oh, my God. Coming soon, 6-axis Wii Remote with Blu-ray.
6-emote. But, yeah. See, this is why I should have rearranged the agenda so that I don't have to segue the stupid shit, but we're going back to Rock Band pricing. Harmonix and EA cross wires on Rock Band downloadable content pricing. Despite EA saying that Rock Band's European tracks cost 160 Microsoft points, both in a press release and in an email yesterday, even though they really should be referring to it as dollars instead of points because that whole point thing is stupid, Harmonix has now claimed that songs will be priced in exactly the same way as the US version, starting at 80 points. It's, quote, it's the same pricing, the exact same model as we have in the States, end quote, says, what's this guy's name, Rob K. Most songs are 160 Microsoft points, and some of them are 80 points. Generally, if they're more like indie songs or something, we'll put them in at 80 points. So you'll be paying the exact same price for DLC. There are two price brackets that we use globally, and the DLC will cost the same globally. So, Rock Band, this guy says, Rock Band launches on May 23rd in Europe, according to EA, but it might not. Who knows?
Yeah.
So
deja vu. I just talked about this.
Huh?
I said I just talked about this, didn't I?
Right. Yes. This was the article to which I was referring.
Gotcha. Okay.
When you said didn't we get the, no, okay. It posted.
Not all makes sense.
But yeah, I think there's just honestly, I think this is just a miscommunication. I hope so, because they're already dicking them over on the price as much as it is. 80 points is about a buck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
80 points is a buck, so 160 is $2. Okay, so but does anybody know how Europe translates their currency into MS points?
Like in terms of buying them, how much you're spending for 800 points?
Yeah, how many points does I don't know, $1, €1 buy or something like that?
More? I don't know.
More?
No idea.
Yeah, probably more.
You are a financial wizard. Let me tell you.
I just wish that people would follow Sony's lead and just say, okay, dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they're not, like, as far as Wii stuff and as far as Wii stuff goes, they're releasing separate playlists for Japan and America. Like, you don't get the same virtual console games in America as you do in Japan at the same time, at least. Like, they release some games earlier over there and some games later over here. So it's just like, why bother with the unified point system when all it does is confuse people? Now, it's different for Nintendo because 100 points equals a dollar. So that's a little bit easier to swallow.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, does 100 points equal 100, does 100 point equal 100 yen? We don't know.
Hmm.
I just think this whole stupid funny money's bullshit. And, you know, Sony with their dollar amounts, please. Or if you're British, not dollar. Pound. Pound sterling.
In their non-region locked PlayStation store.
Right. Oh, is it really? It's not region locked?
Well, the new one supposedly is.
That is pretty cool. So it'll probably convert the price automatically or something.
I assume so. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that seems like the model to go after.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's cool. I did not know that store was supposed to be un-region locked. But continuing to beat this drum on the whole Rock Band thing, let's see. This is an interesting headline. Harmonix on Europe. It says, "Let them eat cake." This is from Kotaku. Luke Plunkett. Al gave me this topic and I didn't read it. Sorry, Al! But let's see what this says. Rock Band's impending European launch isn't getting the kind of PR Harmonix and NTB would like. Something about the price or something. Well, feeling the sting of the internet barbs that have been slung their way, Harmonix has spoken out in a defense of their pricing structure, with Vice President Greg Lopiccolo posting on the official boards a ton of reason. Here we go. Here are the reasons. Why the game's going to be so expensive. Some seem entirely plausible, some a little less plausible. Let's see. We're not gouging you primarily because doing so doesn't serve our interests. We can only build our franchise if you buy our games. You may conclude that Rock Band isn't worth the price charge, and that is your prerogative, but it's not magically going to get cheaper just because you wish it to be so. And here are his reasons. Let's see. Hopefully it's in the first post. I'm Greg. I run product development at Harmonix, and I have some insight into the Rock Band European pricing controversy. I haven't been authorized by my corporate masters to comment on this topic, so these comments should be only attributed to me. Here's what I'd say in response to the Euro pricing complaints if I were so authorized. Let's see. First of all, we pay close attention to the customer and fan comments that come our way. We are in this for the long haul. We know that customer satisfaction is key to our long-term success. We can't keep everyone happy at all the time, but we assure that we all show up every day and work hard to make Rock Band as good as we can be in every way. Okay, so let's see. Specifics. For a box the size of the Rock Band box, shipping costs are really high and far higher than in the U.S., why so high? I have no idea. I make games for a living and have no deep knowledge of the world of European shipping. So, okay, they're saying that shipping the big box overseas to Europe is one of the reasons. Another one. It's a bit misleading to compare the U.S. suggested retail price and the U.K. suggested retail price apples to apples in two key ways. One, the European price incorporates... Okay, so he's talking about tax again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see
There's
what he has...
There's more to this
than tax. Oh, yeah. Let's see. The European blah, is varied from state to state. So the appropriate full bundle U.S. price to compare isn't 169, but more like 177. Again, fair enough. How much is an arcade unit in Europe, and how much is this in Europe? In the United States, the arcade unit's more expensive.
We need to get a Europe guy.
Huh?
So we need to get a Europe guy.
Yeah. another key distinction. Let's get Ufa Ball. Another key distinction between the U.S. and Europe. Games generally sell for the standard retail price at all retail outlets in the U.S. Walmart, Target, Best Buy, GameStop all charge standard retail price for games, with rare exceptions, such as when GameStop charges $5 more just for the hell of it. Mm-hmm. It is my understanding that European standard retail price incorporates a hefty retail markup, but that European retailers are free to discount if they so choose. So European retail customers have a reasonable chance of paying less than the standard retail price. Again, that doesn't explain the fact that it's more expensive than a console.
Right.
Here's another point that he makes. This is probably already well understood by the folks on these forums, but the tax is an additional 17.5% in the UK and more elsewhere. He's just repeating himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
It just comes
most
down
of his
to
arc-
taxes and shipping? Is that
he's still talking about taxes.
That we know?
That's pretty stupid. Let's see what else he has to say. Final point. Is it worth the money? You can all be the judge of that once you've had a chance to play it for yourselves. Obviously, we're biased at Harmonix. We live and breathe this game. We've sold a ton of these in the U.S. at a far higher price point than people are used to paying for a video game because it really is a new and different experience that you have to experience to believe. Once you get a crack at it, you'll know whether or not it's worth the money. We think you might decide that it is.
I find it funny that the answer to is it worth the money is by buying it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is it worth the money? Oh, buy it.
Yeah, buy it, find out. And here he has more points, actually. He has more points. The peripherals are manufactured. Okay, there seem to have been some questions on this thread about why we didn't simply ship full bundles, including the software, in Europe, as we did in the U.S. It's a good question, and the answer is not totally obvious. Like the last post, this is my unauthorized personal opinion and carries no official weight. One, the peripherals are manufactured in China, but the software is manufactured in Europe. In order to bundle the software, we would need to set up a bundling facility, ship all the peripherals to it, open each box to insert the software, then repack it into containers and route it to distribution centers. It is very expensive to do in Europe.
Isn't that what they do anyway?
I would assume so if they're selling it in the U.S., but
exactly.
This is very expensive to do.
Wait,
let me finish. This is very expensive to do in Europe, and we are actually focused on trying to keep the cost down. See earlier post. It isn't really possible to do the bundling in China, since the peripheral shipping is done by boat, and they'd probably pirate it. That's my edition, not his. And the peripherals need to leave China before the software development is complete. Two, the game disc and peripherals are identical for all European territories, but the manuals have to be localized for each country. So in practice, the software package is different for each country. That means for each territory that we launch into, we'd need to build and track separate bundles. If we were to track into additional territories in the future, then we'd be obliged to track even more unique bundles. This is also has big inventory management challenges. For example, if the game ends up selling really well in Germany but not in France, then we have a warehouse full of French bundles and no inventory for Germany. For a region like Europe, it just makes more sense to treat the software and hardware separately. This wasn't an issue in the U.S. since it's one giant, mostly English-speaking country. Mostly.
Yeah.
Three.
You know. In other words, it's your fault for being fucking European.
Three. Given that the game is expensive, which we acknowledge, we want to provide some alternate options for purchase. Okay, so he's basically going into the fact that why is it separate? This still doesn't account for the drum that I'm going to beat over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it more expensive than a console?
This is a
why?
Whole bunch
that
of
is the biggest
talk.
Question.
That's what it is.
You know,
yeah, that's just double talk right
there. Don't consoles ship with instruction booklets that have different languages too?
Of course
they
do.
Oh, so the instruction booklet has all the different languages. Then maybe you want to publish the instruction booklet for all of them. I don't know. Maybe it's not practical, but still. The bottom line is that it costs more than a console, and I don't think it should.
No. Absolutely. I don't understand how their distribution practices have differed so amazingly, you know, from the U.S. to Europe. You're doing the same fucking shit. I mean, like, really. If the game was, manufactured in Europe and the peripherals were in China, okay, shipping to the U.S. would have gave a indicated price of, let's say, what, $200 for the whole thing? No, they started at $179.
Let me take a look at this. Give me one second. I'm going to get my guitar. You guys keep talking about this.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, why did they agree to do it at $169 and $179 here, and all of a sudden everything just got so fucked up and out of whack that Europe's they gotta pay more. Sorry, it's an ocean away.
Isn't our dollar worth crap now? Yet,
of course. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm back.
They want euros. Yeah. Of
Let's
course.
See.
And it's like you're gonna make more money regardless, you know, going to Europe anyway. Whether you charge $10 more, not $100 and something more.
Here's what
you
it
know
says.
What I'm saying.
Designed in the USA, made in China. Our guitars are made in China too. Why did we get them all in a bundle? Are we that special? Mm-hmm. Well, we are, but still.
Now, the disc, itself, was that also manufactured in Europe?
The disc for our disc?
Yes.
No, our disc is probably manufactured here. Probably.
Doesn't matter. Still, yeah, the peripherals come from China.
Yeah.
Ooh. What the fuck? How did everything change? I mean, like, they're just really double talking, and what it all comes down to is they really want to profit, and Europe is just going to have to pay. That's it, if they want it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Rob K doesn't know all the ins and outs of why the company at large decided to charge the price. That's probably up to the publisher. I mean, no disrespect to him. I'm sure he's doing what he's trying to say what he can. It's just not good enough. It isn't good enough. People need – the bottom line is that it costs more than a console, and, like, he hasn't answered that question. And maybe he can't, you know? But, I mean, whatever. Let's move on to happier things about Rhythm Games, such as Def Leppard.
I thought you said happier things.
Ah, now I know.
Oh, dear.
Here's the thing. I didn't really listen to anything outside of hip-hop or classical music until after 2007. After the fall, so I have no idea how good or bad Def Leppard is. Can someone please fill me in?
Overrated in my eyes, definitely.
Well, they're pretty good.
I mean, they're that way. They were, basically,
their hair is also inferior to James's hair.
I actually saw them at Keyspan Park about a year ago.
Yeah.
They had this concert with all these other shit bands. I think it was Brian Adams there too. You know, the guy who sings that song for Robin Hood. What's that fucking song? You know it's true, everything I do. That gay song, yeah? And, you know, and he was like, he was there, and we saw Def Leppard. Now, I don't know if you know about the drummer from Def Leppard. He lost his arm in a bus accident, which also claimed the life of, what's his
name?
Burton, claimed the life of, a Metallica.
Cliff
Burton. Yeah. Ron something.
Cliff Burton. Yeah.
Cliffy.
And,
Cliffy B.
You know. And my friend callously, one of my friends callously made a joke about that. They have this song, Metallica has a song, Trapped Under Ice, and he just renamed it to Trapped Under Bus.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I was like, oh,
that's wrong.
Fucked up.
Yeah, I think Def Leppard's majorly known for, like, kind of catchy rock songs, but not so.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah,
they're
pop.
Not the most,
yeah, poppy.
Yeah, they're
Kiss.
Not the most skilled instrumental, you know, people. But,
no.
But they.
But let me tell you something. Hmm. That drummer, he only has one arm, and he hooked up his drum set so that he could play the snare with, like,
with his feet.
You know, it's a computerized snare with one leg.
Yeah, I've seen
and
him play.
He also does double bass. Yeah. He also does double bass. He's pretty fucking good. I mean, like, really fucking good, despite his limitations and stuff. Then again, he's also in a band where it doesn't require that much skill.
That's,
you know?
That's kind of what I've always heard is people, oh, he's the best drummer in the world. He only has one arm. Well, all the songs I've ever heard from Def Leppard, I mean, maybe he is a better drummer, like you say. But,
yeah, he is. Absolutely.
Def Leppard definitely does not show it.
On the heels of that, I guess the more important question regarding Guitar Hero is the songs. Let's see, do they list the songs? Yes. Songs Photograph and Rock of Ages will be made available as downloadable content, along with new single, Nine Lives. Now, do you think that these songs, whether or not they're actually good, would make for good note charts on Guitar Hero?
Well, Nine Lives is going to be completely new. It's actually I thought that was the big news is that it's going to debut in the game. Like, it's not going to go to the radio. It's not going to.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, that's
okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
So,
go Def Leppard.
I guess we got to listen to some Def Leppard to find out their music.
Well, we have no choice.
To see if the note tracks come out.
I find it funny that it took this many sequels to Guitar Hero for their songs to finally get in the game, but I think the same thing could be said about AC/DC, just because, I don't know, AC/DC would probably be one of the more well-known bands to be in Guitar Hero, but because of rights and whoever owns AC/DC, it just takes forever for them to work out a deal and say, you know, here you go, here's our master track or whatever.
Mm-hmm. AC/DC blows. let me ask you something. Rolling Stones aren't in any of these games.
Rolling Stones are in Guitar Hero 3. They have Paint It Black. They're also in
Rock Band.
But, like,
they're also in Rock
song?
Band. Yes, they're actual songs.
Oh, that's cool.
They're also in Rock Band with Gimme Shelter. Right? Okay, is that the song? Rock Band People. Is it Gimme Shelter?
That's everybody just go.
A round of silence.
That's everybody just go silent for a second. What about Gimme Shelter?
Gimme Shelter! That's the one in Rock Band, right?
Yeah.
And The Departed.
I can't stand that song.
Well, because you have to sing the part of the black lady, and that's hard.
Oh, yeah.
Gimme Shelter!
Gimme Shelter! Oh, God.
Tony, you can do it. We know it. Everybody knows it. Mr. Falsetto. Man. Mr. Sex-type thing singer.
If I knew that song, I would do it. But...
We're going to do that song next time. But finally, harmonics. You know, Rob K., who was just talking about his little reasonings for why it's more expensive, has something to say that I completely agree with. Come on, Nintendo. We need a hard drive.
Duh!
So this is from Kotaku again, Mark Wilson. This is basically regarding why Rock Band has no downloadable content on Wii. When we heard about that Rock Band was coming to Wii without DLC, we long since anticipated the problem. Our psychic powers stemming from the Wii's obvious lack of decently proportioned internal hard drives. Now Harmonix's design director Rob K. has confirmed that the Wii's lack of storage was indeed the reason Rock Band will not have DLC. If you'll remember before, the statements were kind of vague. But he says, come on, Nintendo, we need a hard drive. That's what we want. The whole problem is that there's nowhere to store it. If the platform could do it, we'd jump on it. I assume that's the reason the PS2 doesn't have it either, and because the Slimline doesn't use the hard drive anymore. So
why can't the I think everybody can agree that
it needs a hard drive.
A hard drive option. Why can't they release downloadable content but have it saved to the SD card?
SD card, exactly. Who knows?
Maybe because you can take that anywhere with you and be like. You know, like sell it to a friend for a cheaper price or something.
Yeah, that's a great reason right there. They do not want to do that ever.
I mean, I agree with them needing to protect what they need to protect, but I think there are ways that they can do it such that they don't that they can guard against that. Now, here's something I don't know, and that hopefully you guys can help me out. Can I take my hard drive with my Rock Band songs, put it in your 360, and have those songs still play?
I think if you're connected to Xbox Live.
Okay. Okay. See.
I'm pretty sure that's how the DRM stuff works.
For everything, right? Not just arcade games.
I wonder if the Wii version of Rock Band's going to cost cheaper than the other versions.
It should.
Because
it
that's I how think all it's, other Wii games
it's,
work,
I believe
work
it's
for
going
Rock Band.
To cost I think it's going to cost as much as the PS2 version, which would make sense.
Yeah.
But I'm not completely sure. They might try to gouge with a big stick. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
Well, getting to one of the points Slunks brought up, why don't they have it go to the SD card? I mean, if they do get a hard drive for this thing, couldn't you just take it from the hard drive and save it to the SD card anyway?
Well, you probably could, unless they guard against that. So yeah, I mean, what you can do is you can transfer stuff from. Because the Wii does have internal memory, it's just not very much. Right. It's half
it's
a gig.
512, right? Or something like that? Yeah,
it's half a gig, which is pathetic. But, well...
Remember, back in the computer days, you'll never need more than 1K of memory.
I'm a computer.
Double downloading.
Okay, let's not forget.
Don't copy that floppy.
Don't copy that floppy. Any other comments, or should we segue so giftedly into this, and even though giftedly is not a real
only
word?
If, you are only the sultan if the article of segue. After this is about Rock Band again.
Let's see. No, it's not. All right, we'll just move on to this one. I think this is your Slunks, or is this Al's?
I think I submitted this one.
It's from Xbox 360 fanboy Amazon offering $50 to HDTVD owners.
Hey, we feel sorry for abandoning you guys, so we'll just give you money.
There's this great picture of Peter Moore holding it up, and it's like, it doubles as a serving platter.
I don't even work here anymore.
That's right, he doesn't. But
what the hell?
Wow, I wonder how much money
that's
Best
money.
Buy people and people like Best Buy and Amazon. I wonder how much they're losing because of this, or is maybe Toshiba refunding them some amount for the technology? I don't know, but that's just wild to me.
Who's supplying the monies? Is that Microsoft?
That's what I want to know. Let's see. Does it say it in here?
I don't know.
No, it just says. Amazon's now offering $50 credit to anyone who bought an HD-DVD player before February 23rd. The credit can be redeemed for up to 10 players by any one customer. So if you bought 10 players, you get $500.
Yeah. And the article also says, why in the world anyone would buy 10 HDD DVD players?
We'll never know. Okay. It's credit. It's not cash. It's just credit.
So it's like a gift. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a gift card.
Yeah, a gift card. Yeah. The credit can't be used on special order titles, e-books, or downloadable e-content, wireless service plans, gift certificates, gift wrap, taxes, or shipping and handling charges.
Here's a gift card, but you can't use it for anything.
Yeah. Can you use it to buy another HDD
Maybe. If you use it to buy another HDD player before the 23rd, you get another $50. But
oh god.
In a gifted segue again, God, I hate this. on the heels of last week, when we were, was it last week or the week before? I can't remember. We were talking about Stephen King.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember
and
that.
And him kind of defending games. This lady, what's her name? Naomi Alderman at The Guardian, I believe is a UK publication, says that video games can be a rich and magical experience, which it's nice to hear that someone admits this. This is from Mike Fahey at Kotaku. Let me read the exact words. Several of you have pointed us to an amazing opinion piece by Naomi Alderman at The Guardian entitled, quote, "If we deny children access to all computer games, we deprive them of a rich and magical experience," end quote. A beautifully written response to recent events in the UK like the Byron Review and the banning of shocking Kane and Lynch advertisements. She praises Byron's report for touching on many of the opportunities for fun and learning that computer games allow and how we need to move away from the notion that games can cause harm, and then points out how the print and television media reacted by warning parents about violent video games and monitoring their children at all times. In short, they completely ignored the positive and focused on the negative. Alderman paints a much brighter picture, though the quote that struck me as the most poignant was this, quote, "The world of Grand Theft Auto does contain violence and misogyny, but then again, so does The Godfather or Goodfellas. So, for that matter, does The Iliad, which is what kids always read in school."
That's right.
"It's exactly the same sentiment we've seen time and time again, honestly, and while I doubt it'll have much impact on the boneheaded, brainwashed parents who read it, I'm George Bush, it is nice to see that in a major news outlet." Alderman uses Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which she calls GTA 3, as an example in the article extensively. Quote, "Johnson is trying to clean..." this is talking about the main character, CJ Johnson. CJ, right?
Yeah.
Or CJ Johnson. Carl Johnson!
Carl.
"Is trying to clean up his neighborhood, but as a dispossessed, orphaned young black man, he has no option but to reform his neighborhood gang to do so. The makers of this game, like the makers of any movie about gangland, can stand squarely behind the art that they have created and say, this represents reality. If it offends you, don't criticize the art, but take action to improve the world around you." That's a pretty fucking heavy quote there.
Yeah.
I mean, I liken it to I've always likened this game to Boys in the Hood. People who aren't in the know, they watch the movie and they see Ice Cube and they see it about a movie glorifying gangland violence, glorifying misogynistic rappers, glorifying killing. But the movie's really about getting away from all of that. Mm-hmm. People don't want to see that, though. Right. So it's like, this might be stretching GTA a little bit because, you know, Rockstar is always like, you know, Rockstar does this on purpose.
Yeah, I'm a little lost here. This is just about violence in media in general, right?
I think it's more, I guess, but I think she's focusing on games.
Okay.
And
Yeah, no, this is definitely about games, I think.
Let's see, what else does she say? "Don't worry, the gaming world isn't filled only with violence and depravity. In fact, it's mostly enchanting. If you haven't already spent a little time online playing with the sweetly soothing Samurai game, or iMaze..." I have never heard of these guys. "Or iMaze's whimsical Grow series, or Foon's Delightful Hapland, I urge you to do so now, and then share them with your children." So, if you want to read this article, it's at www.guardian.co.uk. The rest of the URL is /comment is free /2008/. Okay, just go to April 10th. It was posted on April 10th by Naomi Alderman.
I think there's always like a question of like the difference between violence in movies and shows and video games. I think
games because it's interactive.
Interactivity. But in a way, like, I guess I could take us back to the 90s. But wasn't Goosebumps interactive in a way?
I don't know. I've never
watched it. Could you consider that interactive? Because I think all things are interactive. It's just that video games are more so. You know, you have to flip the page of a book. But with like...
Sorry, that's...
Yeah. But when you... with like Goosebumps or something, that was kind of like choose your own adventure, you know, make your own decisions. And in a way, that's kind of on the same level as video games.
I think what people are worried about is that games leave very... I mean, having, as fake as it is, mm-hmm. having hands-on experience with something, you know, they're scared that that's going to give the child, you know, because a child's brain is like a fucking sponge, right? So they're mm-hmm. scared that it's going to give a child, like, the mm-hmm. not necessarily the real knowledge, but just exposure to something that they shouldn't be exposed to yet. And because it's hands-on, they're afraid that it'll magically teach them how to do something or give them ideas. And, you know, Ethan has said this in the past. Like, he's not a proponent for, you know, all these people saying games are bad. But he makes a very good point in that, yes, it can influence you.
Yeah.
But just as anything else can. It's not different.
Yeah.
But it can still influence you. Now, the other thing is that it leaves very little to the imagination in terms of what you see. Kids play cops and robbers with toy guns. That's probably bad enough. If you're a parent who's so concerned about kids doing all these bad things, a kid playing cops and robbers with toy guns and shooting each other, okay, that's already bad enough, you know, if you're going to be such a parent to be so concerned about this. The thing with mm-hmm. games is that it actually represents it on the screen with real violence. Well, not real violence, mm-hmm. but, you know, represented violence. You don't see the blood in cops and robbers unless you throw a tomato right. at your friend.
So I guess what it comes down to is brains are sponges, and instead of pressing a button to kill somebody, just turn to page 113.
I just think it's a problem with, like, understanding the media. I mean, because, right. you know, the nature of video games is, you know, everybody is it seems like the mainstream media just thinks every video game is played by kids. Like, it's just kids yes. playing video games.
Yes.
And there's a hierarchy there. I mean, there's a scale, there's a range of video games. Some games are not appropriate for children, but you know, kids are still getting their hands on them, and you know, parents aren't doing their job
and
all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I think parents are really they're definitely the main key, but I think this you know, the ESRB rating system and stuff like that is there to back up the parents if they don't know. I just had a customer walk up to me last night. And she asked if Bully would be safe to buy for her 14-year-old son. And I said, well, in a way, it kind of would be because he's probably already experienced everything that's ever been in that game just from watching, like, TV and stuff. But
right.
And
then, as a teenager
said,
as well.
Well, he's played all the Grand Theft Autos. And I said, yeah, Bully will
this
be
is
no
much
problem
tamer.
For your son.
Yeah.
And well, is it Bully Teen?
Worried about Bully for teen. Dumbass.
Yeah. Okay. I just wish that, you know, people will take more care like you do, because I think sometimes they don't check IDs, sometimes they just, you know, give it away. I mean, I was very happy once when, like, I was in a store and some guy wanted to buy Devil May Cry 4. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his ID on him, so they didn't give it to him. So the fucking kid turns to me. He's like, "What if he buys it for me? What if, you know, he?" And I'm just like, I'm not doing that. I turned. I was like, "What
next
the fuck?
Stop
I'm not,
for you is yeah, a liquor store."
Yeah, I'm like, "I'm not your mother. I'm not buying this shit for you. Go, you know, go get your fucking ID. I'm not gonna do this for
yeah,
you."
Yeah, ESP checking ID is probably the most important thing because for like an M-rated game. Because if we don't check ID, we can get fired right on the spot.
Yeah. Yep.
So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, people are checking now. Any more mm-hmm. comments, or should we ungiftedly, again, that's not a real word, segue this next one?
Let's segue into something about Rock Band again.
Okay.
God. Well, Sultan of Segway does it again.
two huge blows for the Ziff Davis crew, the guys who create EGM, Games for Windows Magazine, mm-hmm. formerly PlayStation uh-huh. official PlayStation Magazine, which went under, and the 1UP.com network. The first is Games for Windows Magazine is moving completely online, which means that the print publication is completely shut down. They've had to lay off their art directors. Fortunately, they are retaining their entire editorial staff, which, you know, I read Games for Windows Magazine, and they've got a good bunch of writers over there.
Yeah.
Probably the best.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree.
Like in my opinion, like EGM in comparison, and even though they're sister magazines, they're related, with the exception of Dan Shu, who we'll get to in a minute, the writers for EGM don't compare to the writers for Games for Windows. And it's a loss that right. the people who want to see this magazine won't be able to get it anymore. Especially for me, who, you know, likes his magazine reading material on the John. Or mm-hmm. on the airplane when they tell you to shut off your DS. When it probably won't do any harm, but I shut it off anyways. So, they haven't gone under, necessarily. They're just moving online.
Saves a lot of overhead.
Yeah, there's a lot of overhead. I think they'll be able to get all the shit online. Like, obviously, moving online is I can't remember. There was a Simpsons episode. I can't remember what it was about. Mm-hmm. But
sure, that's great. Yeah.
Mr.
Yeah. Why don't you let me finish? But basically, there's this one part where a news magazine writer was scooped, like, on a big piece of news by a blogger, mm-hmm. and, like, his issue, he was like, oh, but this isn't going to come out of newsstands for a week. Nelson pops out of a manhole and goes, ha ha, your medium mm-hmm. is dying. And I thought about that, and I was like, that's really sad. It is dying. You know, uh-huh. these magazines are going down. Mm-hmm. But it's because online represents such a better opportunity. I think it does represent a better opportunity to, you know, just focus online only because of the frequency with which you can post. How fast right. you can get news out there and all that stuff,
and
but it's
right. the length
yeah,
of the length of what you can put. Like you
right,
have infinite
right.
space, and that's why I'd never want to write for a magazine in a way, just because
right.
reviews are practically paragraphs. It's just
right.
mm-hmm.
terrible in a way.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like sad. Like Jeff Green, who is the CEO, Jeff Green, who's editor in chief of that magazine, and now the online effort, basically says it's like the passing of a loved one. I mean, this magazine has actually been around for 27 years. It used to be Computer Gaming World, and I hadn't read it until maybe about a year and a half ago because I was a PC Gamer subscriber, which was a big mistake, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Sorry, PC Gamer, that's how it is. I don't like the magazine anymore. That's why I'm not renewing. But you know, it has a long history and it's been around for a long time, and it's, you know, they've got some good stuff up there, and it's just they even have an issue with Michael Jordan on the cover.
Amazing.
For no reason. And like they frequently make fun of that on their own podcast. They're like, why do we talk about the Michael Jordan issue? But you know, it's just sad to see it go. I mean, hopefully one day they'll install you know, sterile touchscreen computers in bathrooms with which you can read articles on the tablet.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I think this is kind of the slow route for every magazine that's out there just because
yeah.
uh-huh.
technology is taking over. So
yeah, it's just like I miss the sensation of holding a book in my hands, like on the subway or on the on the bus or something, and just being able to flip through it at your leisure. You know, it's just and I guess maybe it's just a cultural thing that's just going to change. Like Ethan was talking about collecting games physically versus downloadable games. You know, it's a cultural thing. You know, the kids in about 20 years mm-hmm. are going to be those old farts in the corner. Back when I was your age, I would buy games on a disc, and we would collect them and have a nice spine full of Xbox games. And they're like, you're old. You know, I don't give a shit.
You're an ancient fuck. Get out of here.
You had to go to the store to buy it?
Yeah, exactly. You walked somewhere? You didn't even
with
use
no
a Segway?
Shoes, I was walking through the snow.
I was walking on broken glass. But
and I got attacked by a beaver.
Oh, several jokes can be made out of that. I just won't. But on the heels of that, you know, at the end of the week, Dan Shu, who is the editor-in-chief of EGM, their sister magazine, and also director of content over at 1UP, is leaving. You know, it's kind of like first the magazine goes down, now the head honcho
mm-hmm.
leaves.
Right.
So, and that marks the end of a huge era for them because I think, you know, as much as, you know, I would sometimes have issue with the way that EGM handled shit, like, Dan Shu was very, I don't know, you go ahead because I'm trying to think of a good word.
Yeah, I saw Dan Shu on, I believe it was an episode of Bonus Round with Jeff Keighley, and he seemed like a really cool guy. But I used to be a subscriber to EGM, and I have to say, it's kind of a really, really, really short magazine. Like, all the reviews are extremely short and usually aren't in depth. It feels really flimsy in comparison to, like, I don't know, Game Informer or something.
Oh, God, I hate Game Informer.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, I know you have to sell them, but.
Yeah, well. The thing about EGM is that I don't think they kind of go through everything. The first line for their Lost Odyssey review was a completely terrible sentence that you can't understand no matter how many times you read it. I'm going to have to go find it. So let me go find it.
Yeah, I've never been into EGM for the reviews. It's mostly like the shit like the Peter Moore interview.
Yeah.
Like the way that they get those people to answer those questions. Maybe
right.
not answer it, like, but they'll press. They'll be like, yo, okay, look, I know this is a bullshit answer, so come on, give me some more. You know, it's like that's – I never noticed – that level of, you know, of just journalism, you know? There's between information, consumer reports, and then actual journalism and trying to get to the bottom of answers and trying to get people to talk. That Penny Arcade comic about, you know, Dan Chu going and finding his testicles. You know, that's true. You know, so how shitty is your console in all its games? So awesome.
So awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, yeah, I mean, maybe it's been there before, but never so prominently. And, like, I started noticing it little by little in other magazines that weren't from Ziff Davis after that. But it's like they really kind of, to me, they kind of spearheaded it, magazine-wise. Yeah. Maybe blog-wise, they were free to be snarky before, but that's kind of a different story. But, I mean, I don't know. I hope that Sam Kennedy's going to be the new director. I guess he's done a pretty good job with the website, because he was doing the content for the website for a while, so hopefully he does it justice. But I don't know. It's just a blow. Like, first the magazine, and now this guy is gone. It's like in the same week. So
yeah.
But anyway, before we move on to the bag of mails, does anybody have any more comments about him leaving or the future of magazines versus, you know, online shit and yada yada? Yeah. And my guitar is made in China.
I couldn't find the first line. Their online review is actually edited, so it actually makes sense.
Actually?
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. It says, early on in Lost Odyssey, Final Fantasy creator Hironobu Sakaguchi, Hironobu Sakaguchi's Xbox 360 follow-up to the disappointingly Kitty Blue Dragon, it becomes clear this is not the Japanese role-playing game of your childhood. And it's like all one sentence.
Who wrote it?
Shane? Andrew Fitch.
Whoops.
Andrew Fist.
Is it Fister or Fitch? Because they're two Andrews.
Fitch.
Okay.
But they actually fix it up where it says Final Fantasy creator Hironobu Sakaguchi's Xbox 360. Originally that was separated by commas. You know how, like, sometimes in writing you'll squeeze something in the middle of a sentence and you'll separate it with commas and then you'll kind of come back to what you're saying?
Yeah.
And, well, that's what they tried doing, but it needed to be in parentheses, and that's how they have it online. So it looked really, really, really terrible.
Like Japanese role-playing game.
They're trying to say like three sentences all in one sentence by trying to separate it with commas, and it just—it's like
this is a grammar
Final
podcast.
Final Fantasy creator Hironobu Sakaguchi's Xbox 360 follow-up. Like, is his 360 have? I don't even know.
There's a grammar podcast.
Right, it was so terrible.
It's grammar and games.
If anybody got the edition of EGM with that review Egg-em. In it, please go read it. Just read the first line. God damn it. I'm pissed. Grr.
Comments, Jimbo?
Well, I was just kind of blindsided by the Dan Chu announcement, because I was reading a magazine, I guess it was kind of old now, where Dan was talking about how much he loved his job and how he's getting that promotion or whatever.
Right.
And that he was, you know, kind of saying that, you know, we're in it for the long haul. And then all of a sudden I go online and I see
boom, and he's gone.
I was like, yeah, I was not expecting that at all. And we've seen it with, you know, with GameSpot, with all those editors, it just seems like everybody's kind of shifting. And this media that I've known for like the last 5 years has just completely changed.
Upside down.
Yeah, and I don't really know how much faith I have in, you know, the people that are in there now. I'm not saying, you know, that they're not good at what they do. It's just
right, but you know Shu, you know what he's done, so
right.
Yeah. I'm scared. I'm wondering, you know, first of all, there's Ziff in filing for bankruptcy for restructuring, right? Mm-hmm. So all their properties are, you know, trying to undergo some kind of work to make sure that they can stay afloat. They're losing money. And then there was that whole thing about Ubisoft. Was it Ubisoft? Yeah, it was Ubisoft and Midway and Sony is particularly their sports, blackballing them because they're like, you know, you don't treat us friendly, so we're not going to give you our shit. You know, Crispin gave Assassin's Creed a 4 out of 10, and then they start, you know, crying at their asses, so that whole thing with the restructuring, it makes me think: are the head honchos up there now stepping back and saying, "Hey, wait a second, we're losing money. We're not going to be able to cover these games as timely as other magazines are. We'll do our best, but we can't do it because they're not going to let us in their press events." Ubisoft's becoming a big publisher now, but Dan Chu is adamant on making sure that, you know, they don't mince their words, because that's what you do. What do we do now? I mean, we're losing money, but he doesn't want to bench. Should we go to him with an ultimatum? And maybe they went to him with an ultimatum. He said, you know what? Fuck you guys, I'm leaving. I hope that didn't happen, and it probably didn't. This is just me spouting off out the mouth. This is me talking out my ass like those ESPN commercials. But and I'm not trying to start shit here, anybody, so don't call me on that. I don't know. I mean, it's only a fear of ours. It's just a fear, and you know, I hope to God it isn't true. But the way this fucking media, the way fucking media works, I don't have too much faith. Unless you put out a newspaper dedicated to video games, you know, as long as it's controlled. I don't know. Anything else, Tony? Slunk?
Nope.
Not plural, just singular. Slunk? Nope. No. Okay. Move on to the bag of mails. We're at the mailbag. We've got two questions and one comment, which doesn't count as a question. I'm going to call you out on this, Free Bones. Subject is Gaytar Quiro. Okay. Activision fucked Guitar Hero up. I'm pissed, but at least we get some free DLC now. So what's the question?
Let's make a question out of this. Maybe he's asking, did they screw it up, and are we getting free downloadable content?
Maybe. But because, yes, we're making up your question for you. Activision, fuck your Guitar Hero up. So my question is this. Why can't I write a consistently good question? No. Send us a question. Free Bones. A question.
That is his question.
But I will, agree with you that, yeah, they kind of did fuck Guitar Hero 3 up because they really, like, Rockman's coming out every week with new shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we get We Three Kings for Christmas, which is a good song. I'm just saying that, like, we get We Three Kings and then something else, but Rock Band gets
actually.
All
I
want
to expand on this. The supposed question, Guitar Hero 2, it was supposed to have a bunch of downloadable content, wasn't it?
And where did that go?
Yeah,
it was all Guitar Hero 1.
But Activision wasn't in control then. So, is that Arn Harmonix's side, or
no? Activision was still the publisher for Guitar Hero 2.
Yeah,
I don't know how much control they had over the content, but they were still the publishers at that point.
Why would they even bother making downloadable content for Guitar Hero 2 when just in the same year they released Guitar Hero 3?
That's the same reason why people were pissed off at the pricing. If you remember when Slunk was with us on that episode when we were talking about it, that's why people were pissed off.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday.
oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Well,
you had breakfast.
Oh no, breakfast. But I don't know. Why would they? Well, that's a good question.
That's a good question, but not question.
It's a good question.
And if you see, I think that announces the coming of a new Guitar Hero when you see drips and drabs of downloadable content. Mm. I mean, you know, the writing's on the wall for Guitar Hero 3 when you see that. You know, they're just going to move on to Guitar Hero 4
and
probably include something else. You know, I mean, like, in the same year, they released two versions, you know, and that never happens in a video game, does it? I mean, like, Zelda never put out two games based on, like, the same premise and stuff, and within the same year. And you're like, well, you know, what happened to, you know, all my other stuff for, you know, this Zelda game? That never happened.
I don't think they really screwed up 3. I mean, yeah, they did for the downloadable content, but mm-hmm. when it comes to the actual game, I think they screwed up. Like,
No, I agree.
I think they screwed up maybe the franchise itself because they release, you know, a new Guitar Hero every, you know.
Right.
Way
but the game itself, the game itself is definitely solid.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's part of their strategy.
The game was solid before, right?
Part of their what?
Right. It was solid before. I'm saying that his statement that Activision fucked Guitar Hero up.
Yeah.
The whole point is that Slunk was saying that maybe they fucked the downloadable content up, but the game itself isn't. Like, the game itself is fine. But James, you were about to say something?
Well, I think that's their strategy. I don't think DLC was ever really in there. I mean, they want to make the money by doing the new game. They want to be like the Madden. You know, they want to just release
you know, game after game, you know, maybe minimal updates to kind of string them along. And the Rock Band strategy was downloads content from the beginning. You know, they were going to have albums. They're going to have, which we haven't seen. Well, we need more albums. Yeah. But well,
we need albums, period.
I do remember a quote from somewhere, and I don't know where I read it, but what was it? Activision, somebody said, Guitar Hero 3 will have the most downloadable content, blah, 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 and then Rock Band passed up the...
They lapped them.
Yeah, they overlapped how many songs were available for Guitar Hero, and like, you know, that
we're gonna have the most downloadable content that you can buy on a disc.
Basically,
yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say.
So, okay, thanks for the quote question. Yeah. End quote.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, there's a difference between. I'm sorry, just chime in on what other guy said. I forgot your name.
I said it, James.
Jimbo?
Yeah. James Bo.
Okay.
Jimbo.
What Jimbo said, like, you know, they want to release a game and stuff like that. Also, you got to keep in mind that, you know, Rock Band's propriety right now is to get out downloadable content for their game because it was an expensive game.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, there's a difference in the price range there. Guitar Hero 3, you know, Activision, they should care more. They absolutely should. Okay, and it just seems like they're just being, you know, money crazy whores. That's it.
Either that, they're just not getting it done. They're trying, and they're just not getting it done. Period. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever the case may be.
Why is Rock Band doing it? I mean, like, Rock Band's harder. You got to do it for four different peripherals. Yeah. I mean,
well, supposedly completing the licensing issues takes a while, but Rock Band kind of is getting them up fast and every week. There's always like one to three songs uploaded, and Guitar Hero's definitely had all this time to catch up in a way, and they just haven't. So
I remember they have Steve Van Zandt, who's from the E Street Band. Like he probably has clout in the industry, and he's kind of like an advisor to Harmonix, like saying so they could probably leverage him. They'd be like, "Yo, so Steve, can you help us get these songs?" And he's like, "Okay." You know, whereas maybe Activision doesn't have necessarily that type of clout within the industry. I don't know. Speculation.
They should send Pitfall Harry. Go get some songs, Harry. Come on.
All right. Next question is from Digimatrix. I know you gave 5 minutes of question time. I just got to call you out right now. We gave like 13 or 14 minutes to just your one question, so stop being a smartass. So I'm sorry if this seems like a big question to ask all the guys, but here we go. This is actually a really good question. What do you think about the trend of games having to have multiplayer in them and moving away from the single-player experience? It is just a reaction to is it just a reaction to the price tag, so to give some replay value to a game? Or does a game need multiplayer, and what do you feel when a review downgrades a game's score because it lacks multiplayer? It's a good question. I think Gideon might have asked this one like last year or something, but that was a while ago. So, like, especially because we have two new people on, like, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, as a writer, I don't really, unless it really feels like it needed to be there, like an actual gameplay element, I don't attack games over lack of multiplayer. Like Viking didn't have multiplayer, but it was still a good game, and I didn't, you know, tack down the score because it didn't have multiplayer, even though it felt like it could have used it. I mean, that was the same thing with Oblivion in a way, is that you're in this big open world and you can't experience it with anybody else. It kind of felt MMO-ish, you know, like an MMO, but you were the only one experiencing it. But I don't, at the same time, as reviewers, kind of will attack a game if it has bad multiplayer, and that's usually because they just throw it on there. Right. I'd rather see no multiplayer than bad multiplayer, definitely.
So. Interesting. What about hair?
I definitely think it depends. I mean, there's a lot of games, like, you know, of course, I don't really. BioShock was a completely awesome single player experience for me that I don't think would have benefited from a multiplayer experience.
Right.
But like games like The Darkness and Prey have these horrible multiplayers that I really don't ever want to play. But I mean, it's still like their experiences are okay enough that you just kind of forget it, you know? So you just got to think about, would that time be better spent, you know, working on more single player or whatever. But, and then there's games like Armia 2 where they're not really good games, But if you play them with a friend, like, they can be really fun, you know? So it just, to me, it just really just kind of depends on what the developers are going for. What kind of game is going to be from the get-go? Is it going to have co-op? Is it going to have a competitive multiplayer? Call of Duty 4, you know, has actually a really decent single-player experience. It was, you know, really short, but I played through it twice. I enjoyed it.
It's actually kind of the opposite for Call of Duty, just because that game's really about the multiplayer and not so much about the single-player. So it's kind of backwards in this case.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if there's like a trend or, it just really just depends, I think, on what the choices are when they make it, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Also, in the fact, you know, in the case of BioShock, I think, more often than not, I've seen games that are really, really story driven and like character, one character laden, like, for instance, in BioShock, it was just you're revealing secrets not only about the world,
but yourself,
there, but of the guy himself. Yeah. You know, and that just doesn't translate well into a multiplayer experience. Right. They want you to be immersed solely, just by yourself, and they want you to become the character. I find that most games that are multiplayer are not story driven. You know, so they have to include some element like playing with your friends to make it fun. That's just my opinion.
What about multiplayer only games like Shadowrun? I don't know. Does that kind of come into this?
Well, no. I mean, no. If it's multiplayer only, it's more often than not. I'll say it again. It's gonna not be story driven. I mean, like your premise there is to like shoot each other. I mean, okay, that's fun. All right, what else is there to do? Nothing. And we don't even have that many maps. You know, thanks for buying Shadowrun. Goodbye. You know,
Shadowrun. Can't believe you brought that back.
Fucking, you know, and like it's bullshit in that aspect, because I would rather buy a game that allows an option, if I so choose to have a multiplayer, instead of a multiplayer only game, which sucks.
Right.
I mean, just totally blows. No story. You're just they're shooting each other and stuff. I mean, they did the same thing with whatchamacallit, what's that game that came out recently? Can't think. My brain.
What console?
My fucking brain. It's this game like Halo 3. It's like Halo. It just came out recently. What the fuck? Yeah. I can't even think of it.
You'll remember it tomorrow or something.
What?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
When I'm taking a shit, I'll remember it. Yeah. So
That's what I was trying to remember. No. So I think it's kind of less of a question of does there need to be multiplayer? I think it's actually is there need to be single player? Because games like Unreal Tournament. There's a single player.
That's the one. That's the one I was thinking of.
Well,
yeah, because initially they didn't have a storyline. It was like very multiplayer based. But on this one, they actually included.
Yeah, I heard they forced a really shitty story in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So they actually want you to have a single player experience. Yeah. Okay, as opposed to a multiplayer, which is going to be fucking phenomenal anyway. You know. Because that's tried and true. They wanted to add something for replay value, you know, just for the person himself. You know, somebody out there who doesn't have friends, they need that person to buy the game too. You know, it's a poor lonely kid. You know, poor guy.
Woogie,
because he sucks and his friends hate him. You know, I mean, like, you know. They want him to buy the game too, so that's, you know.
I actually played Unreal, back in the day, I played Unreal Tournament and Quake 3, like, single player, because I don't like playing with people usually, unless, like, I know them well. And, like, a lot of people just jump into servers, and it's like, no, I don't want to fucking jump into a server where there's going to be some cheap ass. So I just play the single player, which is really stupid, because it's made for multiplayer, but I just like shooting shit. Running around and shooting shit, that's all I need to do.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's other people, or it does, because they're assholes. But it's easier to take... Do you want some more of this from a computer player than it is to take someone typing OMFG, you're a noob? Or maybe not. I don't know. But I'm gonna say, like, just on this question in general, I'm gonna say what I basically said when Gideon answered this. I'm sorry, when Gideon asked this, that a game is its own entity. I don't think it's about checkboxes. It's not about lists. It's not about features. It is and it isn't. But at the end of the day, when we have to take a look at a game, it's was my time with this experience worth worth the effort that I put into it, both time and money wise. You know, the biggest mistake you can do is go down a checklist and say, this has multiplayer, this doesn't. Therefore, this game is better than that one. Mm-hmm. Or this game has, you know, bump mapping in its graphics, and that game is only flat shaded. Therefore, this game is better. You know, no, it's about the game as a whole. So even multiplayer only games get this type of, you know, should get this judgment. You know, it's like so what that it doesn't have a story? Did you have an amazing time with it? Did you have an experience that you didn't think you could get somewhere else? Regardless of the fact that no, it doesn't have a single player. No, it doesn't have a story. No, it doesn't even have quick saves because it's a multiplayer only game and you shouldn't be saving in a multiplayer game. You know, so no, it all comes together. It's when these features or their lack of features come in and negatively affect the game. So when I see people dinging Metroid Prime 2 for having shitty multiplayer, it's like, well, would you have even cared if you never booted up in the first place?
Right.
Versus something like Gears of War, where the game itself is so oriented on co-op multiplayer and competitive multiplayer, that's what it was designed around. If it didn't have great multiplayer and only a decent single-player game, like, yeah, it's so meant for that type of experience that when you don't get it, or if you get a shitty experience, it's kind of like, eh, kind of falls apart.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I'll kind of go backwards and say that I still do wish that Metroid Prime 3 did have some sort of multiplayer, if only to A, test out the Wii's wireless internet, and B, to test out the controls on it, because you didn't get online multiplayer with Red Steel, which was a shitty game anyway, so it didn't matter. But, you know, it's only for the sake of just seeing if it worked, and they've done multiplayer with Metroid Prime Hunters on the DS, which worked out really well, actually. And Metroid Prime 3 is set up to have that kind of multiplayer experience in terms of the controls and the characters they put in the story. So I'm not really that upset that they didn't have it in there, but I think that it would have been nice to have for the people who wanted to do some shooting action. Fortunately, Medal of Honor 2 on Wii does that, and that's actually a really good game. So, but like, yeah, it's just a little regrettable. But in general, no. Like, if the game is just, you just take it as a whole, basically, and that's what you have to do as a reviewer.
I generally would think that a game, if it needs multiplayer, they've got to do something to make the multiplayer part of the game instead of like a separate entity. Yeah. Instead of like, you know, most of the games like Metro Prime Hunters and stuff like that, all you do is like play on maps. There's no co-op in the story mode, right?
In Metro Prime Hunters on DS, no. No, there's not.
Okay, yeah. Most of the games are like that. Yeah. You just, you know, go in a shoot fest on maps.
I mean, I would say that, like, on that sentiment, even though I don't like the series, Halo probably does a good job of it because a lot of people are into the story for Halo. A lot of people are into the single player. But actually, you know, the multiplayer co-op is also a rich experience. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, because I know you guys have played Halo. I don't. And then the multiplayer is so robust that it's like you could probably take either piece, the single player or the multiplayer, and sell them as a $40 to $50 game. You know, they put a lot of work into that. So that's one of the and I know that's why everyone loves it. You know, it deserves that.
Yeah, I don't think any of us here are really big fans of Halo, to be honest. I think James is probably the person here who's had most experience with it, and you don't even play it that much, right?
I'm not. I don't really like Halo that much either. But but like you said, I mean they do have very robust, like the multiplayer. They definitely put a lot of time in, and then single player they did, especially with the 4-player co-op. I mean they definitely have full experiences on both aspects there. But that being said, like not every game needs that. I don't think. I think maybe that's kind of going back to what Digi's kind of getting at is
right.
But yeah, I don't think it's a big deal if the game's lacking multiplayer or single player, as long as what's there is good.
Right.
And
go ahead.
It's just, I'm just trying to repeat myself, is that, you know, I'd rather see no multiplayer than a really bad multiplayer, or same thing with single player. I'd rather see no single player than a really bad single player.
Right.
So.
I think that there's something worth answering here. I think we probably kind of glossed over it, but not gone into detail. He said the trend of moving away from the single player experience. Not that, and he asks, is there even a trend? I don't know that there's necessarily a trend that we're moving away from single player, but there's definitely a huge surge in the popularity of multiplayer only games.
Right.
I mean, I don't buy for a second that bullshit that guy Raph Koster said that. Oh, single player is an aberration. It's going to die. I that guy's a douchebag anyway. So, but and he looks funny. But
he looks funny.
I think that, and I'm probably wrong here because I don't dabble in multiplayer only very often. The impression that I get is that you can do. You probably have room to grow and do a lot of more different things with a single-player game than you do with a multiplayer-only game. You're in a multiplayer-only game, you kind of have to tailor it to a group activity. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is selling multiplayer games short, I don't know. Like, something like Battlefield, you know, is immensely popular. You know, it's great. You know, you've got planes and all these vehicles and all this shit. But I just kind of feel like the concepts that you can have for a single player game, just kind of, they're just more it's just more conducive to, you know, a unique experience. Whereas multiplayer will start to get a little bit samey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I definitely think it's more shallow because of the nature of it, like you said. I mean, you're basically just have an excuse to kill other people or do whatever. I mean, I guess that's not the only, you know, multiplayer game there is, but like, right. Battlefield, your main purpose is just to blow stuff up in different ways.
And even if you have, sorry to cut you off just real quick, even if you have a single player game, I mean, I'm sorry, a multiplayer only game that is story driven, it's like, it's that is a checklist thing, mm-hmm. where I actually will ding a game, because it's like, If you only have a multiplayer experience with a story-driven game, the player should be given the option to play through it by himself if he doesn't have people to play it with.
Right.
So that's kind of like a checklist thing that you do have to consider. It's like you can't have a game that's like a single-player game but not let them play it single-player. You know, you can't do that or else they'll be mad. But we continue. I cut you off there. I'm sorry.
No. I think I was pretty much done. At that point.
Oh, okay. Yay! Slunk says he's got to get out of here in a few minutes to take a dump.
No,
so,
a few marmots.
So we'll quickly get to this last question from Gearhead3000, who posted the question on my comment on my blog. I'll tell everyone again I'm doing this because he probably didn't see the notice before on past episodes, but I'll have to put the episode notice again every episode. We will not answer questions that don't come in the mailbag. It keeps things organized, so just send them there, please. Thank you.
Please, Kay, thanks.
And I'm also using this question because it'll be fun to call out the spelling, because I like doing that to people. So here it is. This year seems to be the year for sandbox games, with ones like Fallout 3, Mercenaries 2, Saints Row 2, and of course GTA 4. But which ones do you think will swim or drown? So sandbox is spelled with a D. Mercenaries is M-E-R-C. I can't even spell mercenaries now because I'm looking at this and I don't even know anymore. I'm like, what? No, mercenaries is M-E-R-C-E-N-A-R-I-E-S. And then, yeah, that's about it. But yes, which ones do I think will sink or swim or drown? I know Tony's going to say Mercenaries 2 will swim.
I hope it will. I you know, for all the delays, it better.
Jimbo says Slunks is going to take the Browns to the Super Bowl. Black Hawk down.
I think they'll all be fine. I guess GTA 4 would definitely probably stand out more than the other. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
I'm hoping Fallout 3 swims. I saw some new stuff just the other day, and it's got me really excited. But I guess the one I'm probably most worried about would be Saints Row 2, just because of the stuff in there that I've seen so far just looks really goofy.
I've got a question for you.
We may have an answer.
Do you think GTA 4 would be as successful if it was just primarily PlayStation through all three?
You think, as in, would it do better as a game if it was exclusive to the PS3?
No. I mean, it's going to be a huge success, but I'm thinking...
Could the quality of the game, you say?
Primarily because it is a cross-platform. You know, it's on Xbox, it's on PS3. If it was just primarily PS3, one, would it be as successful? And two, would it up the sales of PlayStation 3s?
Yeah, I think so. I think GTA 4 would be a system seller. I mean, if Halo is a system seller for the Xbox,
absolutely.
Then GTA
absolutely.
4, no doubt. So, I don't think it would do better sales-wise, though. I think spreading around is definitely better, just because not everybody wants to go out and buy a PS3 just for GTA 4, especially me. I would never buy a PS3 just for GTA 4. That's a game I could skip out on, despite I know it's going to be amazing. You know,
right? I'm not gonna go. But now that it's coming to 360, you're more inclined.
Yeah, definitely. I won't be picking it up day one, but I'll be getting it whenever I can. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's multi-platform is always going. Well, not maybe not always, but almost always going to be a better business decision for the success of your product. As to the quality, you do bring up a good point in that, like, you make it for multiple systems, and you run the risk of baselining it so low that, you know, it's just shit. You know, if Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time came out only for PC, the graphics would definitely be a lot better. If Grand Theft Auto 4 only came out for the PS3, then, like, yeah, they could probably tap into to whatever hardware power that the PS3 has over the 360.
I think this is kind of like a trend for games of this generation, just because the gaming industry has a lot of money involved now, is that you just kind of give money. I think we all know that exclusiveness with games is really gone down.
Exclusiveness,
yeah.
As in, like, you know, now we can pick up GTA 4 on the 360 and the PS3, and games like Guitar Hero is like on every platform, and it's just to make more money, just because the gaming industry, you know, has come to more money.
It's come to this.
The more money you can make, then
it's a lucrative business now.
Even if it means, let's say, like, the only way GTA 4 would come to the PS3 exclusive is if Sony paid them about, you know, $700 billion. And then it would be worth it.
Right.
But right now, it's not. It's definitely not worth it, and it would kill sales. Right. So.
This is a quick whimsical thought of mine, but as much as I think this is better for people, I want people to be able to play games no matter what system they have. I think it's better to have ports so that anybody can experience them.
Yeah.
But on a whimsical level, it's kind of sad that we're losing exclusives, because, you know, that's what you identify systems by. And it's
now it's becoming
everything's
less of
commoditized.
What's on
it's the
your,
same.
What games are on your console? It's about what features your console has.
Yeah, and I mean that's what Dennis Dyack was saying about the whole one console thing. We're not going to get into that, but you know, even though I still disagree with him, like I see where he's going with this, and you know, he has good points. I just don't necessarily agree that it'll happen soon. But and by the way, console platform. I think he's talking about not console, like not one piece of machine.
Gotcha.
But Jimbo, do you have a comment today on his question? On Tony's new question, which is spelled correctly, even though he didn't write it.
I mean, I don't know. Actually, I'm interested to see how many units sell on each system, just to kind of see where people have kind of migrated to.
Right.
Because, I mean, this was primarily a PlayStation franchise that is now...
Right. It's always come delayed to the Xbox and then to the PC. Mm-hmm. Like, by at least half a year, right? Or is it something more... I think it's at least half a year.
Yeah. So. I don't know. So both at the get-go, they're kind of both at the starting line. So I don't know. But I don't know. Exclusivity is kind of like a weird thing now that has been completely obscured. It's like almost opposite of last generation, where we see all these franchises that are just... There are, you know, like we had, you know, Beautiful Katamari on the 360 only when it was, you know, on the PlayStation 2. But there's a lot of changes going on. But, you know, I'm kind of with you guys, as I multi-platform, I'm okay with, you know, just because I don't want to have to buy a game on a certain platform just because of that's the only one I can buy it on, kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, you do those, you know, usually the first party games, they're usually pretty high quality in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But yeah.
Is that it? Should we wrap that shit up so Slunks can go drop a deuce on him?
Well, I do want to say that since I was talking about console features, and that would be the reason you'd buy the game, if you were getting GTA 4 and you had a PS3 or a 360, which one would you get it for? Like, to you guys?
Good question. I think...
I would think that everybody here would kind of say the 360, I'd imagine.
I would probably say 360. I know Al said that last week because he doesn't want to be limited to no downloadable content.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can't see a compelling reason for me to go with the PS3 version, honestly. The only thing that would tweak it is if, like, and this is really stupid, so bear with me, okay, but if they use the D-pad extensively, because I hate the 360 D-pad. Yeah. I hate it more than the DualShock D-pad, and I hate the DualShock D-pad,
yeah,
like, with a passion.
Yeah.
But the 360s is just that much worse.
Does the,
this is the only way that I would go with that one.
Does the DualShock 3 have, like, I always thought the 6-axis had, like, papery buttons, like the Xbox circle and triangle buttons.
Yeah.
Does the DualShock 3 feel like a more like a DualShock 2, or...
I heard that it does. I have not held one yet, but I heard that it definitely does. It has the motor, so it's heavier, and it's, you know,
well, good,
nicer and bigger. not bigger, but, you know, it feels more solid than, you know, the piece of paper that the 6-axis is.
Gotcha.
I feel like I could, like, drop that thing and it would float.
It'll just break. It'll shatter.
Not
like
only
glass.
Break, it would float and then break after floating.
No, you would drop it, and then it'd float up into the sky.
Right. Just because of that. But let's take care of some housekeeping really quickly. Check out Game Slaves Radio, the Game Slaves podcast. Al and I are actually guesting on that one, episode 50, which should be up on Monday or Tuesday on GameSlaves.net. Review them on iTunes. Stop being assholes. review us on iTunes. Stop being assholes. Check out NerdAlert.com. Check out Talk
it's
Xbox.
Actually, it's actually what? ORG. But it's not working,
okay,
so don't even worry about it.
Okay, don't worry about
it. Man, you can't even get that shit right.
Just go to
.gov.
Yeah, just go to gamespot.com/user/JIMB0. Let's see. Do you put your videos anywhere else?
YouTube, but
okay. What's your YouTube user?
Silence495. It's generic stuff.
Silence495 on YouTube. Check out Nerd Alert, and then check out Talk Xbox, where you can see Slunks take a dump on games.
Sure. Only because I don't have multiplayer. What the fuck?
DrFishyPants.com, of course. Doctor is spelled out, not DR, but DOCTOR. New on the site, I think, we have our own Dr. Fishy Pants posting an editorial about Jade Raymond and Editorial Integrity, and we got a new contributor. He gave us a Spider-Man Friend or Foe review for Xbox 360. His name is Patrick. Say hello. And I think that's about it. Any closing comments or donations for my cause of money?
I'm going to go to bed. I'm sick and I'm tired.
All right. All right. Go to dump in your bedpan.
Yeah. Take a Uwe bowl.
Uwe bowl.
I have a Uwe bowel movement.
Ew. So for Slunks, for James, Jimbo, Jamborino, Jam and Jamito, Jamie Jemito, or whichever one you want me to use.
That's good.
For Tony, I have been your host, Balls Chupon Austin, and we're out.
Bye.